The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress OTA Day. Here at Gillette Stadium, at least the one that the media has access to. And all the boys are here just coming off the field, having watched practice and interviewed players at large.
Fred, didn't they used to call these passing camps?
Yeah, back in the day.
They should call them incompletion camps.
There were camps that they called passing camps, yes.
Yeah.
I guess
they're failing in their passing.
In that regard, it was not a good day, according to Andy Hart, who came in here and said 4-12
with a jump in his step.
Well, yeah. No. Injuries and incompletions was my theme of the day because they also had a number.
Yeah. Okay.
Stephen Ridley banged up. Alfonso Dennard carted
Hold
off.
On. Andy's but now here, Eric's here. Paul's
Eric says
here.
8-8. You say 4-12. That's now really the number most associated with you.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
I was going to make that one stick.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Yes, we're starting at 1 o'clock today. We'll be here until 3.
If you've been listening to Dead Air for an hour,
right.
Sorry.
Due to the OTAs. So, guys, you all came in and you were very unhappy with what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, the passing game stuck.
It was a sloppy day up for the offense, and it was a bad
day for
injuries.
I look at it as a good
very,
day for defense.
It's very windy out
well,
there.
Well, I said that the other day. Are we going to continue to say that, or do we believe the offense is struggling?
Yeah. No, I'm going to continue to say that.
But I
You're
think
so full
we
of
always
crap.
We always see the offense
in all seriousness
struggle, or in quotes, struggle to catch up to the defense in camp, you know, in training camp.
It's not
it's,
like that. Seven-on-sevens should not end with every throw on the ground.
Those drills generally don't end with any incompletions.
I mean, they had that drive of 2 minutes that was like seven plays long. The
really
only
bad.
Completion was immediately stripped.
Right.
Every other ball was incomplete. Michael Jenkins crossing straight through his hands for a pick to Gregory. I mean, just horrific. You know, even on other plays, there was one play, like a little outlet to a receiver in the flat, and I think it was that Aiken guy. Somebody made this great, like, spinning behind
yes.
him catch because
yeah,
it was
yeah.
a horrific throw.
Yeah, the throw. The timing was off. But I do think, and to answer Andy's original question seriously, yeah, the offense has been as unimpressive as he described, but I also think there's a lot of parts to that offense that aren't available right now. And
well, what was the difference between
the
today
tight ends,
and last week when you were out there?
It was even
it
worse.
Got worse.
Today.
It was worse.
Yeah.
It wasn't good last week.
It was
but
bad last
I,
week.
I kind of didn't want to go
worse.
Over the top. Now it's two straight sessions we've
but
seen.
But I thought last week we
worse.
Had a lot of, that's it. That's perfect, Danny. Way to go, Danny.
Yeah, that was pre-practice group work.
Yeah, that's not against.
That's route running.
That's not against defense.
I haven't seen Danny Amendola do much the last couple days.
Not in team
not in
setting.
Right. Not right. in team setting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Because I'm talking about the team setting where the offense has blown, hasn't caught any passes, and he should be the most experienced, proven guy on the field, right? I mean, he's going to be the most important guy
of
the receivers.
So when you say he hasn't done much, you mean he's just not been involved in the route running, or when he's asked to do something, he doesn't do it? Which is it?
I don't think
he's far away, and I can't.
Well,
tell.
I think
he's not.
Know.
He's not
no,
getting.
That is. That is important.
It doesn't
Fred,
seem like he's getting balls
it.
Thrown to him as much as some of the other guys.
No, and I haven't seen him drop a lot of throws.
Right,
or
and that might be by design. So that's why you raise a very good question. I just, unfortunately, we don't have the answer because I don't know when it, cause it seems like they're throwing a lot of balls to the outside down, specifically your sunglasses are on your visor, right?
I was just making sure.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Panic attack. A lot of balls are going deep to the outside. So maybe that's something they want to do. They want to get balls Dobson. Deep. They want to get Kamar Aiken. They want to get Jenkins. They want to get these guys some reps. Maybe that's what the plan is.
Hasn't kept them thrown from Zach Sudfeld every other throw. And the star of the last 2 weeks, Fred, you mocked me the other day. Zach Sudfeld can play. Well,
but I would say that the other element has been deep seam throws to tight ends. Yeah. There's been a lot of completions on those. Fells had another one today for a touchdown. And Andy's right. The best player today in terms of catching passes and all that stuff was Sudfeld. He was everywhere, and he caught everything.
Jake Ballard got hurt, too. Left ankle.
Jake Ballard,
Stephen Ridley,
and I think the most serious of the three would be Alphonso Dennard.
Explain.
Dennard hurt his left
shoulder or collarbone area.
In a play?
Yeah.
Like what happened?
Oh, yeah, during teamwork, late in the practice.
He came off during teamwork with his shoulder drooped way down.
Bill came over, which is never a good sign when Bill comes to see Waylon talking to the player.
Jim Waylon and Joe Van Allen were working with him. Bill came over to check on him. They ended up carting him off.
Yeah.
They actually helped him up.
Yeah, they helped
him
up.
Just so you know,
they put him
in the front seat.
Yeah, the front seat.
Because Tom Curran took that as a good sign. You know, that's got to be better than sitting on the back. I said, well, but it's a shoulder injury.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a leg injury. If his shoulder, why wouldn't you be comfortable?
You go in the back because they don't want to bend
your
knee.
Wait, you said that to Tom?
Yeah.
Because he just tweeted about Dennard getting hurt. It said, seemed like a leg was the issue.
What? Well, that was a misreport early by...
That was the most obvious injury that you'll...
So was it a
literally,
collision?
I didn't see the actual injury happen.
So I'm
but when
walking
he
off,
left the field to go to
like
the sideline,
over, like,
one of his arms was significantly lower than the other.
And it was not
a
collision.
I don't know how he was
halfway bent over and
well,
like...
It could be one of those stingers.
It was not
a
collision.
It was not a stinger.
It was more than a stinger.
And you don't get carted off for a stinger.
It wasn't a collision.
No. Okay.
He might have fallen to the ground awkwardly. We didn't really get to
see
it. But it looked like it was pretty severe, and it was either a shoulder or collarbone area.
Yeah, and it wasn't good.
How about Ballard?
Ballard went up for a ball in the corner of the end zone, kind of a high overthrow.
Dropped it,
and then immediately, I think he might have just turned the ankle
landed
on
awkwardly.
Landing.
Left ankle, yep.
He got looked at, and it looked kind of serious, and then he was walking around, and they actually made him, what's his name?
Godsey
made him catch passes like on
George
one
Godsey.
Foot. Yeah, made him catch passes on one foot on the sideline. So I don't think that was all that severe. And then Ridley looked like a hammy tightened up on him.
I
might have been barking
a
little bit. And
he
you
was
know,
mad
risk that.
Too.
He did like a sort of an out pattern swing and then cut up field along the right sideline. And as soon as he did that, he sort of like.
And he was
grabbed for his leg and went out of bounds.
And then he was just stretching and watching
right hamstring.
The rest of the.
So I was barking him.
A little bit.
Yeah. The Dennard one is something that I would. I'd be a little concerned about. And I don't mean necessarily like it's going to be so serious that he goes
Rosé
into the
Dowling's
season.
A star.
But shoulder problem that he's probably going to now.
Not an interview.
Enter camp with.
Didn't he already have a shoulder problem?
Dowling?
I think he did have a shoulder injury last year.
Yeah. Pretty sure he did.
Yeah, and this one looked like, I mean, they worked with him for
fine,
a while.
Fred.
I mean, they even helped, I mean, you, like you say, a shoulder injury. He was down and they were helping, you know, they helped him up.
Yeah, so it was very weird.
Clearly, they didn't want him to, like, put his arm down and put any pressure on it.
And I think that's why some people thought it was a leg injury initially, because he got helped up and
well,
was kind of standard.
Well, I'd be stunned.
Yeah. I think they would have put him in the back of the.
Yeah. Usually, if you have a leg injury, you go in the back of the cart.
So if that were the case.
Bend it.
All right, so. Not a good day, at least from what you guys saw.
No.
This isn't the only day they're out there today, but it's the only day we have access to.
Yeah,
correct.
And we'll be back next week.
For 3 days.
For 3 days.
3 days.
Of minicamp.
Big days.
Three in a row.
The mandatory minicamp will get a chance, presumably, to see Brandon Spikes, who hasn't been here yet.
Yeah. Potentially.
He's not going to be here?
I don't know.
I said, well, I did say that.
Yeah.
You said presumably.
Yeah, well.
I presume nothing.
According to reports, he'll be here.
So reportedly. Not presumably. He's very, very good at drafting, or he's been a pretty good drafter.
And I stand by that he's been very, very good at it.
All right. So
you have a difference of opinion.
And then you guys talk to players afterwards.
Well, I got a couple more notes I'd like.
Okay, go ahead.
On the negative side, I always start
there. Oh, now that we've covered all the positives.
No.
Stunning.
Well, I just thought of it
in
light of Ridley, hamstring, Bolden still out of action. Same list of guys out of action, by the way. Normals, Spikes, Gronkowski, Edelman, McDonald, Nick.
Hernandez.
Mm-hmm. Hernandez, although he came sprinting out of the bubble and took part in some drills like he had just
I just saw him in the tunnel, and he's bouncing around.
Well, he worked with Brady for like a good half hour after practice.
You do know his injury was shoulder, though, so like but, bouncing around.
But I'm just talking about attitude.
But he was also catching.
He did more today than
There was no limitation on him catching passes. He's
none.
Fine. Other than the fact he did not take part in like team and 7-on-7. But LeGarrette Blunt. What's that face?
I just hear
there's a lot of noise.
There's
a lot of noise in your headphones.
Like an old man ordering soup.
Yeah, speaking of ordering, were you ordering anything?
Wait, ordering soup? How does an old man order
I'll
soup?
I'll have the beef barley.
Okay, that's how an old man orders soup.
That's just Fred ordering soup.
Right. Every Friday night, right? Isn't that your don't you do like soup dates?
Well, the place that we go to called Soup Works in Attleboro, they moved to this place called Sweet Works and merged, and now it's less of a kind of takeout joint to more of a sit-down restaurant. I'll tell you, for the money, it is the best restaurant around. It's
where is it?
In Main Street in North Attleboro.
Wow.
It's
And you're not a paid spokesman.
It's excellent menu and food. I can't believe – I don't understand how they're going to keep the menu prices where it is. They're either going to have to raise the prices eventually or change the menu. Because you can get a prime rib for under $20 that rivals anything you'd buy for $30, $40. It's unbelievable. They can't keep
it
up.
Are you sure you don't have part ownership?
No, they can't keep
it up. This is where you run into Ivan Fears sometimes?
Run into him there. I did run into an ex-player.
Oh,
there.
Yes.
I don't want to mention that, but I ran into
a free agent who left this year, right?
Right.
LeGarrette Blunt had trouble with handoffs the other day, a little bit with Brady, and then today, I don't know if you guys saw, but he also took a penalty lap. Do you know why that was exactly?
He dropped what did he do? Did he drop a pass or did he drop? Or was it a handoff? He had a hard time.
I don't think a dropped pass.
I don't think it was a pass. I think it might have been a handoff.
See, so that's concerning to me. That's concerning.
The one who had the drop pass was Dobson, and he went back. He went back to the huddle and got kicked out of the huddle, and then went behind everybody and started doing push-ups.
Eric is right.
And then the other thing is, speaking of Hernandez, not Aaron, but DJ Hernandez is here in some sort of role. Wearing Patriots attire and coaching assistant, GA, intern.
And what relation is he?
Brother.
He is brother.
He is brother.
And he is look
I
like just
legend.
Him, if you want to talk funny. Because I said, who's the guy who looks exactly like Aaron Hernandez? And they said, his brother DJ. Remember, you know, he was a Brown assistant. I was told he's at Miami now.
So he's older.
A little bit.
Yeah, not significantly. I mean, he was a high school coach.
They look exactly the same.
Yeah. The same, like, shoulders, everything. Looks, face, hair, everything looks very similar. But he's here in some fashion, but I don't believe to stay. I think it's kind of an intern.
Did he keep taking his cap off?
That's what I joked. No, he didn't have one, but I'm sure he would have. And he was actually working with the tight ends for a while in some drills and things. But it seems like he's also helping out on special teams.
All right.
For whatever it's
worth. So Ballard hurt his ankle, not his knee.
No.
Oh,
no. Left ankle.
Oh, it was his ankle. It was an ankle.
Why? Okay. Why did you think it was his knee?
Just because that's
what he's coming back from.
Okay. Because he's rushed back from.
And it would be hard to tell
16
if he was
later.
Limping. I don't remember which knee it was that he.
This is a bad one.
Yeah, I know. But which one it was, because it was hard to tell if he was still limping because of the ankle from today or because that's just how he's been.
And you say the
he also had a couple drops, by the way. You're
not
early.
A lot of good catches. How did Brady look?
They all struggled today.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy with himself
either.
Very
windy.
No.
Or
he had that.
He wasn't happy with that. What was going on?
He had that body language too today. That you know that bad Tom that you see once maybe like a month or every 2 months. Yeah, bad body language today. I'm not a huge body language guy, but for him.
Oh, body language with him will be an issue this year.
You
I
know
guarantee
that there is times when he's frustrated because he lets everybody know
right
by his body
language.
So he had that going today.
At this point, he probably no longer feels like he's throwing the ball better than he has or whatever that he said about a month ago before he got here.
Well, he looked good at the best buddies.
He's fine, Andy.
He's fine, I know. He did spend a lot of time working when the other group was doing some of that team stuff. He was back with Amendola and Jenkins again talking.
He did also work with Sudfeld and Ballard before Ballard got hurt.
Mostly, that was early.
Mostly on blocking. Like they were lined up as they would be, you know, on the end, but in like a 2-point stance.
Right.
And sort of working on pass protection for Brady.
Well, I think, it sounds kind of silly, But I think Brady needs to know what these guys look like when they're blocking. You know, because he's glancing around. He's seeing things very quickly. And
I wouldn't say that's silly.
He needs to be familiar with this is what he looks like when he's in control.
What helps if they had numbers out there,
right,
too.
This is what he looks like when he's off balance and he's about to get bull rushed. You know,
right.
So
no, I don't think that's necessarily silly. I mean, playing quarterback is knowing where things are coming from, having passing lanes and all that. I mean, I think that's...
Yeah, and you bring up passing lanes.
That Among the silly things you've said on this show, that is rocket science.
But you bring up the passing lanes and stuff like that. That was an issue today, too. There were a couple of passes batted down at the line. They were working a lot, I thought, on some slow-developing misdirection screens.
Yeah, it was.
You know, when they have the fake reverse action going a couple of different ways and they want to pop a screen out. Mm-hmm. They were doing it to tight ends. They were doing it to running backs. The timing didn't seem to be there for the most part. Now, obviously, when they were working on it at the beginning on their own, the timing is there. But when they were working on it in team periods, a couple of them were getting knocked down.
The field goal sucked. They had two field goals blocked. One with like a face.
Yeah, was one of them like was that on purpose? You know, sometimes they work on blocks.
Maybe.
Because one of them looked like it was kicked into the line.
Think you work on blocks when you don't have pads on.
And then they even scooped and scored and tried to throw it to the other guy, and they bungled
that.
Yeah.
And then a certain linebacker, I won't say his name, but got chewed out by Belichick for missing an obvious read on a pass pattern when he was dropping into coverage. I mean, he got F-bombed.
Now, I asked Paul this question, and not really even joking. I was kind of serious, but we haven't had the numbers on the jerseys still all through the spring here, and probably won't have them next week. But what are the odds that we don't have them in training camp when it's really important that we have them?
I don't think they can do that.
Well, that's what I was saying to Paul. I don't know.
Why not?
I think Bill thinks he can do whatever he wants.
I don't think they will, because I think that would be an inconvenience to fans. I think Mr. Kraft would have a problem with that.
I hope Paul's right.
That's why I don't think
that. But I'm not taking it for granted.
Matter of fact, I think you probably have numbers at minicamp, even though there's no media there. But
no fans.
Fans. Do I know that for a fact? No. Who knows?
Because it really is difficult to pay attention to a practice the way we like to.
Sure.
Well, yeah. When we don't know exactly, like every time somebody made a play, we had to say, "All right, who's on defense? Who was it that made that play?"
And you
have to wait
the
till
next
they turn around,
plays.
And so you miss the helmet, and then you miss another play. Yeah, it's
plus
not,
it's on the far field every time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why they came up with that whole thing with the big numbers on the jerseys. Cause you can't identify them otherwise. What about the defensive backfield? You mentioned a lot of drop passes. How much of that was because of good plays by the defensive backfield?
Some. Not as much, I thought, as the other day. I thought the other day the secondary was really good.
Stepped up, pass coverage. Like the Gregory interception of Brady was... That was, you got to put that on Jenkins. It went right through his hands.
Yeah. I mean, it was perfect tip drill.
I would agree. I thought the other day, last week, last Wednesday, I think
last Wednesday,
there were a ton of deflections.
Yeah.
Today, just incomplete passes.
Drops.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were drops. The ball's just
bad
hitting
balls,
the ground. You know.
Except to Sudfeld.
Yeah.
To answer the question about DJ Hernandez, by the way, he was a grad assistant at Miami last year, and I think he is at Iowa this year.
Oh.
It says grad assistant, so... He didn't move up.
Lateral move?
So he is with Ferentz.
As a grad assistant on the Hawkeyes coaching staff, he will coach the tight ends.
Oh.
But it
makes sense.
Still
working with.
Still as a grad assistant.
The other Ferentz.
Yeah, I
what's his name?
The guy who left.
Brian
Ferentz. So we now have three connections to Iowa. Look out for a lot of Iowa players.
Can we get the connections to, like, Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama.
We have the Alabama
connection.
Right, we do have the one for Alabama. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Kenny Chesney was the music of choice today during, what else was that?
That's
was that Tom Petty?
Springsteen. There was
a weird one I didn't know in the middle. It was... Started with two Chesneys,
there were two Chesneys. There was a lot of country stuff.
I don't know any of that.
There was a Springsteen... And yeah, there was one in the middle. I don't remember which one that was.
Kind of had like a Tom Petty sound.
Who spoke?
The coaches spoke.
And
position coaches and coordinators. So Brian Daboll did not speak.
I talked to LeGarrette Blount for about 5 minutes.
Was he a hit?
He was very blunt.
Really?
No.
Was he good?
He was okay at times. The best question actually came from our guy, Rich Garvin. who was
surprisingly
was asking a
how long he's been out of prison.
No, no, not about the punch, but he was asking. Basically, he wanted to know if he asked, "Were you surprised by the trade?" And Blunt kind of gave like a smile, sort of like, "I don't want to answer this kind of question thing," and was like, and sort of gave an answer like, "Well, I wasn't really worried about it if I got traded or not or whatever. That's happened. Now I'm here. I'm happy to be here." And he followed up with, "Did you ask for a trade?" And that even brought an even bigger smile and a like searching for the right words kind of thing. And then finally he was like, "Next question."
Good follow up.
It was a good follow up.
Because searching shouldn't take long. It's yes or no. There are two options.
As he was doing the, as he was doing the smiling thing, Rich goes, "I'll take that as a yes." I wanted to say, Rich, you know he's punched people before, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised Rich didn't ask him how long he's been out of prison. he's got an edge, that one.
Tenacious?
Rich Garf. I wouldn't say that.
No, I wouldn't either. Strange edge.
Yeah, strange edge.
Because tenacious implies that it's like one after another, and it's he'll just swoop in with one super edgy question.
Yeah.
It's like, where'd that come from?
Okay. So LeGarrette Blount.
Rozai Dowling, who was as terrible as always in his interviews.
Yeah. Eric's been ripping him from start
to finish.
Eric
gets really mad. Members of the media relations department come around and they tell us that we're going to have LeGarrette Blount and Rozai Dowling. Eric has to tell them, "Well, that's completely useless. Stop."
What's the point? Useless. Worst interview ever. Worst ever.
And
top
when,
three, but I can't think of the other
and when
two.
When it broke up after 1 minute and 14 seconds, all my colleagues in the media said, "Yep, you're right. Worst interview of all time."
Fred, you know what that blame goes, right?
The media.
The questions.
Absolutely. Right. The questions.
That's right.
There's no such thing as a bad interview.
You have to elicit the responses. You bring LeGarrette Blount or Rozai Dowling on this show, and we'll have them open up.
No, Blount was okay.
Blount was fine. He was Blount.
While smoking up, nothing.
Oh.
Dante Scarnecchia had the quote of the day when I believe Rich Garvin asked him, "What's it like when your five offensive linemen all work, do things right on one play, the perfect play?" And he said, "It's better." Dante said, "It's better than sex." And then he, "Oh, why did I say that?" It was very funny. I thought, you know, poor wife. You know, he's been married.
Talked to Dante
years.
A little bit at the beginning, and he was asked, you know, Dable's been working with the offensive line. Is that sort of a hint that maybe he's getting ready to retire?
Somebody asked him that?
Yeah.
Really?
Mike Reese.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was, he just flat out sidestepped, "I'm not going to talk at all about myself. I'll answer any questions you guys have on the team, but I'm not going to talk about myself at all." You know, Mike sort of got into it by saying, "You know, listen, I know you're probably gonna kill me for asking this," and he talked about Dable, like I said. And
did he call him the tackles coach?
You're probably at this point you're closer to the end than the beginning.
Did he say that?
Yeah,
that's a Bill phrase.
Well, Mike said, as Belichick would say, "You're probably closer to the end than the beginning." And then Dante stopped and he goes, "No. You said it." And he goes, "Well," and he goes, "No, you wrote that." and he goes, "Yeah." And this is basically just me and Mike at this point. And I'm laughing, trying to stay out of the line of fire.
It would have been great. "What the F are you laughing at? I heard you say something."
Right. So I was just laughing kind of off to the side. And he was very lighthearted, by the way. I don't want to make this sound like it was at all confrontational.
He's the nicest man ever.
Before Nessun.com puts a headline up saying that Dante Scarnecchia was at all confrontational with the media, he wasn't.
But
I've been looking to get that one in.
He's probably one of the only guys on that staff that really he doesn't have to worry.
Well, you know,
but
then Dante said, you know, he goes, "Well," Mike said, "You know, well," and you could, I'm not sure if Mike knew at first, he was just joking. And Mike goes, "Well, I mean, I think it's fair." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, obviously. I'm closer to the end than the beginning."
Eric, what kind of sunscreen is that you have in front of you? It's in a weird shape. Why is it shaped like
that? Oh, because there's a smaller bottle that was attached to it.
Why is it a phallic sunscreen?
The travel size.
Why don't they just make it one big bottle?
There was a great
so you could have one travel size.
Last night they showed
so it's two bottles.
I ran out of the travel size one, so I just have this one now.
But it's sort of shaped like the grapes and the sausage.
It's that's more like a
gun.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like
the
Pop Tart that
you bring that to school, you'll be suspended for 5 weeks.
Seriously.
Right. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jerry's in California. Hey, Governor.
Good morning. Good morning. Haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Oh, it's been a while.
I've got three or four quick little questions here, so you can just cut me off when you get tired of answering this. That.
All right,
Kevin. When I was 14, in the bathtub, and only on Sundays.
What's in the
bathtub? The first question is about T.J. Moe. He was trying out for the team. He got hurt, cleared waivers. Now he's on IR. If he had not got hurt, and if he had not made the team, and if he hadn't been on the practice squad, he'd be out on the street, you know, with no connection to the Patriots, no money except for his $30,000 bonus. But now that he's on IR, as Andy answered in a question, he goes to all the meetings, and he can get all the medical attention he needs, this, that, and the other. But when he's not in meetings and not in medical attention, is he out on the street holding a hat, begging for money or whatever? What's the pay financial situation with him?
Well, I don't know whether he had a split salary or not, but he is getting paid.
So either he gets his full salary, or if he had a split deal, portion. That means you get roughly a half.
Right. So he's either making $400,000 or $200,000. Either way, he doesn't have to be out on the street with a hat.
Right. Making more than any of us.
Pretty good money, considering if he had not made the team, I guess he wouldn't be making anything.
Yep. Jeff Demps is financing a track career with it.
I guess so. Now, second question. We hear all the time about people coming into the Patriots for a workout, et cetera, et cetera. Well, assuming that the guy is a running back or a cornerback or a lineman, this, that, and the other, obviously they must be doing different things. So what do they actually do during a workout?
Drills.
Positional drills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can, you know, Andy loves to watch the offensive lineman positional drills, and he makes blanket assumptions right away.
And I'm always right.
When they get the 45-pound
all the different drills.
Punch it.
Yeah. Jerry, there's specific positions.
Coming out of a stance, running routes, catching passes, taking handoffs, cutting, you know, whatever,
you know,
the
linebackers
various...
drop, yeah. You know, defensive backs are going to be, you know, trying to press a receiver and,
it just, it's
and
really
cover
just
somebody.
Kind of baseline metrics that they use just to have you pass that.
Is he in shape? Could he play football?
You want to see what kind of
practice
football practice shape.
Right. It's got nothing to do with can this guy really contribute.
And they miss sometimes. Yeah. I mean, they signed John Lynch when he clearly had nothing left.
Right.
So it's not like the workout proves, okay, this guy can still play. It's just, is he, you know, good enough to come compete or practice or whatever?
Right.
But some of these guys, it sounds like they come in just for one day on the weekend or whatever. It was almost they were there by themselves. What you're describing is that they're with a bunch of other people.
No.
They're there with
individual
probably,
drills.
You know, Nick Caserio, a scout, a position coach, probably not Belichick.
Yeah,
you know, depending on who it is.
And it's also another chance for them to sit down and talk with them one-on-one.
Right.
And there is a possibility that they throw some current rookie free agent who's on the roster out there. You know, if it's a cornerback, they might throw one of the undrafted rookie free agent wide receivers out there to run routes against him or something like that. Now, that doesn't – he could be by himself completely. I don't know. I'm not privy to these workouts, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did some different stuff like that too.
Okay, my next question has two parts, and it has to do with Adrian Wilson, the safety from the Cardinals. We've got the first report I heard was that he had lost the step, but he was still pretty good at run defense, so therefore they were just going to use him on running plays. Well, if I am the offensive coordinator for the other team and I see a guy out there that can't defend a pass, then every play becomes a passing play. So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is if he was the third best safety on a very good team, he could still be better than our best safety. So from what you guys have seen in the OTAs or whatever, which one of those do you think are probably the best?
I have no idea, personally. I mean, I haven't seen enough of Adrian Wilson.
Okay. Something's going on over there. I don't know. But
we got Eric on the phone in the background here. We got Jerry on the phone in the background there.
Thank you for the call, Jerry.
I haven't seen enough from him to say, you know, I told you guys I was worried after I went back and watched some of the tape based on last year. But I haven't seen enough here. I know everybody's raving about him. You know, teammates, Matt Patricia, who I just talked to, was raving about what he brings to the table. In terms of being an experienced veteran professional leader type. But what he can do, and Jerry's right, you can't be I'm only going to be on the field at safety in running situations.
Right.
No, you're going to get eaten alive. First of all, there aren't as many true running situations anymore for most teams. And if they see you, yeah, they're going to target it. Everybody, you know, it's all about adjustments and audibles. So if he can't play the pass, he can't play.
Yeah, he's a liability.
Now, you can be the money guy whose role is, in the box is more of a linebacker-like role than a true deep safety that he might have been 6-7 years ago. But if you flat out can't cover somebody, and I'm talking about somebody who's one of the top four receivers in a pattern maybe, then you can't play. I'm sorry. And we still need to see if that's the case with him.
One little bit of training camp news, Fred, that will affect you and me for sure. The Patriots and the Eagles announced today that the Patriots are coming for two joint practices in advance of the preseason game on the 9th of August, I believe, is the date. And those are already announced as being closed to the public, even though that's early in training camp.
Really?
Yeah, that could change, I would think, because of, you know, the way camp practices are open at that point in the early stages of camp. But as of right now, I believe it's the 6th and 7th of August we'll be down in Philadelphia with the Chip Kelly and the Eagles.
Okay.
And then the Bucs come the following week to, or is it the week before? I forget what the schedule is.
I don't remember.
Philly first and then the Bucs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we'll have the first 2 weeks of camp with other teams.
So two joint practices.
Correct.
That we know of. Probably that's it.
Yeah, two teams.
Right.
Two joint with two teams, yeah.
Right.
So probably three or four practices.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com. Let's get to some emails. Speaking of training camp, Dennis wants to know if we have any information on the Patriots training camp. Plans to visit Boston at the end of July. Would like to visit the last weekend of July. You can pretty much count on training camp being in session. And then from that point on to the middle of August. So
I mean, the way 90% of the time it's the last Thursday in July.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And the way you do your math is you find where the first preseason game is and back it up 2 weeks, right. And that's when they start because they usually start 2 weeks before the first preseason game.
I just feel like that Thursday is almost clockwork.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know when.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so that whole weekend.
And that's like a big week. You know, the early on, it's like hitting it hard. You're not going to get a day off or whatever.
Those are the 4 days. Those are killers. Then once you get through that, it's like, okay, now, you know, we got another week, and then we got a game, and it gets fun.
Jan says, I just want to start by saying the baseball challenge was a classic, and you guys should have one or two of these every offseason so that you can compete, but let the listeners choose the next sport or activity. That would be fun.
Well, Fred and Paul have been feuding, and it sounds like we're going to have part two.
Actually, Fred has been feuding with Andy about the way I pitched.
Well, because Paul was lobbing it to Fred and not trying, and Fred couldn't hit it still, and Fred still thinks he's great and flexes his tries.
My contention is...
Now the listeners are all up to date, because that's what's been happening in the office, is Andy has been making fun of Fred.
My contention is if there were hittable balls, I would have hit them.
And Paul's contention is when he's not throwing hard, he loses a little control because it's hard for him to lay it up there on a tee for you because you're so pathetic.
Either way,
my contention was everybody else seemed to have no problems making contact with the ball.
All right.
That's my only contention.
His contention is you stink.
Well, anytime. I like to go out there again. I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's going to happen again before camp starts? I mean, it sounds like it's heating up here.
He's so cocky.
I love it.
A guy who was being pitied against by the guy he was competing against.
I could see if he
and
was
we'll get
like,
a catcher
you know,
this time so he has a target.
If he was taking good
I
swings.
I think the target's going to be right about on your arm or ass.
Well, that's well, the other thing,
know,
too.
That happens,
I really feel
it
like,
happens.
I really feel like we dodged a bullet.
I might have to rush the mound.
Why? Nothing
right.
bad is going to happen.
Well, it could.
No, it couldn't.
No, Paul.
Not with me.
I know I went 90 miles an hour.
I will not get hit in the face or the...
To you specifically, I was throwing about 45.
Okay, how fast were you throwing to Andy, do you think?
But
maybe 65?
I will not get hit in a place that's going to damage me.
You want to bet?
You weren't.
You want to bet?
You weren't throwing that fast, Paul. And even at...
65 miles... Do you have any idea how slow 65 miles an hour is?
It's not that fast.
65 miles an hour is like half of a batting practice fastball.
And, you know...
That's about what he was throwing for.
You can't hurt us, Paul.
He could hurt you. Your reflexes are not what
that's
you think
what I'm
they
worried
are.
About. It
I'm
took you,
about,
you
will
literally
not hurt
took
me.
You 5 minutes to react to a ball that was inside last week.
A full-fledged hit wouldn't hurt us. What's that, Kevin?
It's fine. It was gone the next day. He will not hit. The only place he's going to, if he hits me like in the face or something,
right.
And I'm not going to let
that
happen.
That's what I'm worried about.
But it's not going to happen. I can get out of the way of that. The only reason I couldn't get out of the way is because you can't get out of the way when it's hitting you in the legs.
That's a tough one to get out of the way of. I agree. But he didn't even move.
That's why you're going to continue to lob it to him.
I'm like, what was the guy from the Red Sox that always got hit at the plate.
Don Baylor.
I'm not afraid of your pitches.
I'm not saying
you shouldn't
you should be.
He was lobbing it to you.
He wasn't lobbing it, Andy.
Come on, let's face it.
I was lobbing it to you and Kevin.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I was.
He did. Here comes the cookie.
Why
Fred.
Is Kevin not upset? He knew.
Well, I mean, Kevin.
He's not. He's not Kevin, like offended by Kevin, it
because he doesn't have an aging ego.
Kevin and Eric were there.
Well, he does, but you know, different level aging ego.
Significantly slower to me than Andy.
He was throwing a little bit slower to you than to Andy.
A little bit.
Yeah. I can't judge how fast a pitch is.
Was he lobbing it in there?
There were a few times, yes, when he was.
I agree with Paul, though. It'd be fun to have.
When he was flipping his glove at you and saying, here comes the cookie, Fred. Yes.
That's the fastball when you do that.
But he was, telling you where it was
up on those pitches.
But it was never over the plate.
Well,
and
there were a few that were.
Your excuse changes every single time.
Eric.
Every sentence you have a different excuse.
Eric.
You were reaching for several pitches.
I wasn't throwing any more strikes to Andy or Kevin than I was throwing at you.
They contacted. They weren't even hittable.
But they were also leaning in some pitches, too, having to try to chase them.
I know, but I'm just
saying. As I was to you.
There were like two balls that were in the strike zone.
Okay.
You know? And having not swung a bat in 35 years, it takes me more than two balls to get, you know, to get a swing at it. You know what
Sounds
I'm
like
saying?
Sounds like you lack the two balls you need.
You know, I need a little practice, too.
The number of strikes.
Sounds like he needs the bat, too.
The number of strikes I threw to Fred decreases every time he talks about it. The amount of years that have gone by since he swung increases every time he talks about
1902!
Babe Ruth baseball. I was 15 years old. That's
no, you actually make it sound like you played with Babe
with
Ruth.
Babe Ruth, yeah.
Right. Well, I might have. It was that long ago. That's my point.
This is really a blow to your ego, how bad you were.
What he should have done was just, he actually should have just lobbed some
I was.
In.
He was. No, you couldn't hit him.
You weren't lobbing it, Paul.
And on that one, I think you did get it to the grass, right?
That was the one he hit the ground ball up the
He lobbed it to the grass, basically. Pop up.
And it's your own fault. You don't swing, and I don't know why you don't swing. You had these little check swings. You're like my T-ball.
Because they weren't over the plate, he's saying.
You can step into it and go the other way with it.
I could step across the plate and run 3 yards and try to hit it. I could have done that.
It's funny. Everybody was there. Everybody saw it. He's the only one that has this.
We have video evidence.
Not if every pitch was like that,
Fred. I think we did.
Stop it.
But we have video evidence of every pitch.
So why don't you go watch it and see how many pitches you let go by.
It might be humbling for you.
It's hard to hit what you couldn't see.
There was one ball that was, I should have belted it. I missed it. Like I said, 35 years, I need at least more than one to get, you know, a little bit warmed up. That's all I had.
Do we have any catches?
It sort of frightens me that you didn't see the difference in the speed that I was throwing from to Andy to you.
Yeah, it was. Listen, that's why I don't want a little faster, but it wasn't 35 to 65.
That's why I don't want to throw again because clearly you weren't seeing the ball very well.
You never even came close to 65 miles.
I was on the highway. You were on a side street.
Do you want to bet that I was throwing about 65 miles?
I'd say he was probably in
that's the ballpark.
How do you know, Eric?
Well, because it looked pretty fast.
It didn't look as fast as it wasn't.
It was 35
no,
to
your
you.
Your pitches.
It didn't look as fast as like a. You understand?
65 is nothing.
I do.
That is like nothing.
I've been to McCoy Stadium, the PawSox home, and a friend of mine works there, so I can get seats right behind home plate. And I've seen how those pitchers throw, so I can kind of judge that it wasn't that fast.
The best college,
but it was still pretty.
The best
pretty
college
fast.
Softball pitchers, women.
Why are you muddying the water?
They're upper 60s, lower 70s.
From 46 feet.
Right. Why are you muddying the water?
If you put them back at the mound, it wouldn't be 40. It wouldn't be 60 miles an hour.
The speed of that ball is upper 60s, lower 70s.
And you know how fast your head would spin if he had thrown to you from 40 feet away?
Yeah.
If I was throwing the same speed from 46 feet away, you think you would even seen it? You didn't see when I was lobbing it to you.
See, Andy had a couple good hits, so he wants it to be as fast as, you know, you want to say.
So that meant I said to myself, I got to jack it up here because I can't just lay him in. He's going to kill me.
And when you jacked it up, it might have hit 60.
Fred, just go to the cages. Go to a cage where you can see.
I never had to do that for you.
And go, and you'll know. And then you'll really be humbled, and you'll come back with your tail between your legs.
Well, you know, maybe I should go to the cages. At least I'd have some balls I can hit.
At least you'd have some balls because you don't have any balls
now. For whatever
reason,
he was afraid to throw it in the strike zone. I don't know. I just don't know.
This is what I wanted.
Three guys were watching.
It took me like three shows, but I got what I wanted.
Eric, Andy, and Kevin were all watching.
There were a couple
balls
in the strike zone. Admittedly, I didn't make contact.
I remember Kevin a couple times saying, Eric, a couple times, that one looked pretty good, Fred.
Yeah, no, and I admit that.
You were watching him. You weren't even swinging.
But out of like 30 pitches. There were three or four.
Like, well, if you
hasn't thrown in 30 years.
Okay, but that's my point.
But
I
you weren't swinging at them is my point.
You didn't swing. I went up there just saying, I'm going to swing at everything I can reach.
And
you
took one.
And you did.
One,
he stepped over the plate several
times. I was
there
to have fun and try to hit the ball.
But you took, like, one legitimate swing.
World
you swung hard once.
Right. That's true.
And you missed it.
I mean, how many... I'm just standing there throwing the ball, and you're giving this half swing.
They were like
you were just
trying
so
to check over, back to me.
Overwhelmed,
oh,
and overmatched
please.
That you couldn't
so
compete.
It was unbelievable.
It was. I was surprised. I thought you still had a little athleticism.
Oh, shut up.
All right.
I finally got what I wanted, though. This is what I want. If I climbed over the plate and ran 3 yards,
honestly,
then I would have hit it.
I'd love to do it again.
Didn't seem to bother Andy. He was doing it.
I'd love to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, the line of the day.
What?
You. I'd have to step over the plate and run 3 yards before I could hit it.
Jan says, besides the baseball challenge, he's got a quick game. Ready?
Go.
It's hot in here, isn't it? It's
a little bit.
Warm in here?
A little bit.
I'm just
no, that's just you. You're worked up because you're seeing your life flash before your eyes because you're old and washed
when
up.
I came in. You know, the building doesn't. It was like 95 degrees the last 4 days, and now all of a sudden it's
I'm
down to 75.
I'm freezing back here. You want me to prop that door open?
Yeah.
Get some air in here?
Why don't you do that, as long as you don't make noises in there.
What kind of noises?
Well, you know. Quick game. You have to pick only one scenario with all things considered equal for the upcoming season. One, Brady throws for 5,000 yards, 40 TDs, 8 interceptions, or Chandler Jones has 18 sacks and 5 forced fumbles.
I'll go with Brady.
Brady.
Well, I would go with Jones.
I'd go with Jones.
Wait, is this what we think could happen
one of those two things is going to happen. I would say Brady.
Brady.
Really?
No, well, only because he's done it before.
Exactly.
40 TDs.
No, wait. Is this a prediction or a preference?
No.
Prediction.
No, it's not a preference.
If one of those two things would happen, which one would you
which
say
which one
would
is
most
more
likely
to happen?
Likely.
That's how I read it.
Oh, Brady.
Yeah.
I thought which one I'd want.
Oh, yeah.
I would take Jones because I know Brady's going to give me like 36 for 4,000.
4,000,
you know,
exactly.
Because an average season from Brady and a great season from Jones, you got a chance.
Yeah.
You got a chance to be really good.
I would agree with Andy on that. But I read that just looking, which one of those two scenarios do you think would be more likely?
Brady.
And I would say Brady. He's done it.
I think neither are all that likely.
Two, Danny Amendola plays all 16 games
all
plus the duration of the playoffs, or Stephen Ridley has 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns, 8 fumbles.
Which is more likely?
I will say
I don't think it's very likely that Ridley's going to fumble.
I will say
Amendola because I was going with Ridley until the last.
Until
because it's only a couple hundred more yards.
If you make it 2 fumbles, then I'll take Ridley.
I mean,
8 fumbles. There's no way that Bill's going to let him carry the ball enough to get 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
If he fumbles 8 times.
So it's Amendola, but again, neither is very likely.
Okay, back to Brady again. 5,040 TDs, 8 interceptions, or Patriots 2013 D is a top 10 D in all major categories.
Brady again.
Brady.
Yeah, I'll go Brady again.
Four, having Rob Gronkowski for 16 games plus playoffs and healthy.
The other.
Or having Chandler Jones for 16 games plus playoffs and healthy.
Jones.
Chandler Jones.
And finally,
Gronkowski has yet to undergo the back surgery, and we're close, like...
Close enough.
Finally, having Eric Scalavino sing to you for an hour... Or having Eric Scalavino explain the intricacies of his sketches for an hour.
Oh, that's not where I thought it was. Which is more likely to happen? Neither. I'm not listening to him for an hour. It's about anything.
Right. Plus, I don't do sketches.
JPP had back surgery.
I thought this was a preference thing again.
I don't know. He just says.
I thought for sure that was going somewhere.
He says you only have
to stop chewing gum. People are complaining about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Don't do that. That reminds.
Didn't you think that was going sexual somewhere though?
Eric,
you know, described to you the workings of the female anatomy or something. They actually button hooked me by being kind of like tame.
Yeah.
Straight.
Wyatt from Alaska.
Interesting
says,
word choice, Paul.
If Victor Cruz never shows up to the Giants,
birthday
could he
boy.
Become a free agent then? Could we sign him?
Paul's 70 today. Did you know that?
If we sign Abraham, will Ninkovich play outside linebacker again?
If he never shows up to the Giants, no.
No.
He has to show up in week, 9? He's a restricted free agent, so in order to get his year to get to free agency, he needs to fulfill the commitments of his previous contract.
Right. So he would not become available.
It's told. Is that the word? Is that what told means? I don't know.
Told is when the contract gets
bumped
pushed
forward
to the,
again.
Bumped
you didn't
forward.
Fulfill it yet.
You didn't fulfill it. Absolutely.
That's what I'm told.
Uh-huh.
It is Paul's birthday.
Yeah.
Today's Paul's birthday?
Yeah.
62.
75.
62?
Yeah, I think technically you could do early Social Security
right
today, right?
And I still got him out.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't even close. Yeah, if age was based on how you performed on the baseball field, you're 112. You
know, wait, I threw my age.
That's what we're wearing.
Are they the new
Instead
ones?
Of the speed limit.
Well, that's what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
New one, yeah.
I'm not wearing it.
Yeah, which is higher, the Paul's age or the speed at which he was throwing to you?
I was throwing my age.
Definitely his age. Nathan writes...
Right, so you agree he was throwing slower to you than to Andy.
Thank you very much, Eric. No further questions from you.
Yeah, but his age is in the 70s. That's funny.
Right, so even if he was throwing...
Funny because he's fat.
And old. Nathan says, interested if you guys could comment on Jermaine Cunningham and his projected role. I've been watching some of the older games, and he was starting to come on a little bit, or maybe you could say his performance was enhanced. Any chance that he continues to carve out a role in his defense and continue to show progression, or without the performance enhancement, he's just a jag?
Haven't noticed him at all.
Haven't noticed him here at all. He was coming on in that NASCAR role right before he kind of the bottom fell out when he was enhanced. Some other issues in that email. The assumption that people are no longer enhanced or enhanced, then those are bold assumptions to make in any direction.
Right. Just assume that they're all on an even playing field.
But I think it's a thin position for the Patriots, especially if they don't sign Abraham. I'm not sure where you feel that is, Fred.
Fred, where do you feel?
So I think he's in a competition to stick around. And yeah, he was definitely hurt by the suspension. I thought he was an ascending talent at the time of the suspension. Yeah.
Well, ascending. I don't know about the talent part.
He was better than the year. Yeah. I mean, he was coming off a year where he did nada.
Yeah, he was starting.
Haloti, nada.
Right. He was ascending.
Nathan says he doesn't care if he takes
PEDs. Eric's an anal talent.
I don't think he was that talent.
He doesn't care if he takes PEDs as long as he's discreet and masks it with something.
I concur. And produces.
Like the rest of
the league.
Because
it's a waste if you take PEDs and you're a jag. Take PEDs and do something for me. Be like Clay Matthews or J.J. Watt, one of those guys.
Right, that's why he's not talented.
or any member of the Seattle Seahawks.
Steven wants to know, he says...
Did you see Adderall made its way into Major League Baseball? Somebody got binged last night. Adderall is... That's an interesting thing to keep an eye on, that whole Adderall, what it's used for, what it's covering. This Adderall is an interesting
got to be something
topic right now, I think, in all sports, all drugs.
Steven says, thanks for the practice updates. Is Sudfeld good enough to make the roster?
No. Practice squad. He will be on the practice squad. I'm calling it a lock as of right now. He'll be on the roster next year.
A lock as of right now, says Andy Hart on June 4th.
To make the practice squad, which is way far away and very fluid.
I think he has a chance this year, only if... It's all injuries.
All depends on the health of those.
No, but
guys.
I mean, you got Hooman, you got Fells.
What if
you got Ballard? You got Hernandez.
Right,
you
but
got Gronk.
What he has that they don't is that he seems to be able
Long
to catch
hair.
The ball.
Oh,
and availability.
Yeah,
I look from the looks of Hernandez today. I would say that he's pretty close. I wouldn't worry about him.
Not well.
At the start of the season.
I wouldn't worry about him because of the shoulder injury.
Right.
I'd worry about him because he gets hurt.
Gronk is an ongoing concern. Not to, I know we don't know.
Here comes fight number two.
The rest, I want to slam the brakes before I say I'm unimpressed with Ballard because of what we've seen on the field has not been overly impressive, but he is dealing with a year and a half of rust that, he hasn't been really out there doing anything physical for a long time.
He's also a blocker. So it's not really fair.
And
right
he's not going to look like, a gifted pass-catching tight end.
60% of his game is probably blocking. So the 40%,
good
you're
point.
Not getting,
good
you
point.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, no, good point. I agree with you. I think you're right.
Now, it's problematic.
I didn't really look at it
hurt,
that way, but you're absolutely right.
I mean, I think it's fair to him to hold off Kenny Block, get to actual physical training camp.
Mark's down on the South Coast in Fall River.
Nice!
And,
good job, Freddie. The armpit of the South Coast. But.
And he says, I'm reading excited tweets about Dowling pass breakups, praise for Sudfeld in offensive struggles. They're great reminders that OTAs mean very little in the grand scheme of things. In 3 months, none of these things will matter all that much. However, it's football talk. We love football talk. Thanks for giving us a balanced, thoughtful show that discusses these things while remembering to temper too much excitement or too much anxiety. I don't know about the anxiety. Paul, Andy walked in and said
4-4, 4-12.
4-14.
4-12 is the
they're going to make the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs.
I haven't had a chance to listen yet today. That East is really bad.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen yet today, so there is a 20% chance that today's a random day that one of you comes in pumped and jacked about what someone is doing in OTAs, rendering this entire email moot. Nope, you were...
Well, Sudfeld a little bit.
I'm pumped and jacked about Sudfeld, but in like a, you know,
tempered way.
But he's right. Nothing. This nothing. No. Unless someone gets hurt.
Which
nothing
happened
today.
Oh, TJ Moe, by the way. We haven't been around.
We haven't been able to update that.
Yeah. Torres Achilles reportedly passed waivers, is on IR as the email.
Had surgery already.
So.
According to reports.
No Moe.
Yep.
But, you know, I just find it funny the way that that was kind of reported. Like it was this stunning thing that they were able to get him through. And, whoa, what do we have here? Oh, cake. Nice.
Is this for your birthday?
I hope so.
It looks like it, yeah.
Oh. Hey, hey, hey.
Is this for me?
Are you
Paul? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. One
cupcake Charlie's.
Even better.
Oh,
only for
me. Oh, Maura's going to be mad.
Nice.
Do we know who sent it?
PR.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Paul.
Catherine.
Fred, Andy, Eric.
Yeah.
My birthday was last week.
Thank you very much. Could you get any lunch?
Okay.
He's begging for
lunch.
While
you were up there, you could have picked up a sub for him, too, he said.
Is there any pizza?
Is that just one cupcake?
Yes. So I'll wait till after the show.
Oh, you are never happy. They did a very nice thing by bringing him a cupcake on his birthday. Fred's birthday is coming up, just so you know.
I won't be here.
Later in the. Oh, you won't?
No.
Okay.
For the day or forever. Permanently? Is that the final straw?
I'm leaving.
Turn 70 and you're out.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks,
you
Yerivati.
I don't know why it wasn't a cupcake for all of us, but that's
He's
never happy. I'm happy.
What are you happy about?
They did a nice thing. As you know, it is Yerivati.
What about it?
It's a soft J.
It's a soft J in his name. We've been calling him Yerivati for however long he's been here. Years. Yerivati.
Well, lucky for me, Yerivati. I almost never call him Yerivati. I always call him something, but...
What do you got there?
Cupcake.
Oh. Vanilla cupcake with some chocolate frosting?
Do you think this has anything to do with the fact that they skipped my birthday last year?
And you bitched about it?
No, I never said a word.
I did, I think.
I think that's accurate.
Since when do you get your birthday celebrated?
Well, when you celebrate other people in the media's birthday,
Paul was mad last year because at Patriots tweeted out a happy birthday to Shalice Manza-Young.
I wasn't upset
And they
about
share
it.
The same birthday. It's Shalice's birthday today, too. Although she
Paul's
likes to point
first.
Out many, many, many years apart.
So does the PR do this with all the media members?
Occasionally.
It's not consistent?
No.
You're incorrect, because I was not upset about it in the least, because as you know, nobody celebrates their birthday less than I do.
I got to criticize Cupcake Charlie's, though. Apparently they're not prepared for people to buy a single cupcake. Give a box of holds a dozen.
They're thinking positively. We're going to get just by the dozen.
My guess is they bought a dozen.
Oh.
And they went to other people.
And I still didn't get one?
He's never happy. Paul having a cupcake for his lunch.
All right.
Should we put a candle in it?
Let's let Paul eat his cupcake. We'll take a break. It's 1:53. We'll be here until 3 today. Don't forget. We'll be right back.
Listen up, man. This summer, you got a Brink. I'm talking special edition Budweiser. Because for every case of red, white, and blue Bud sold between Memorial Day and Independence Day, Budweiser will make a donation to Folds of Honor, a charity that provides support to military families. So hold those red, white, and blue Budweisers up high, gentlemen. Great times await. Grab some Bud!
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Donation of 2 cents per case of Budweiser sold May 5, 2013 to July 4, 2013, with a maximum donation of $1.5 million.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing? Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows her
she works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at
the discos in my prime.
He's still paying.
I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Talking OTA today. The Patriots were out there. So was the media. These guys weren't too happy with what was going on with the passing game. A lot of drop balls, a lot of just guys not in the right place at the right time, or inaccurate passes, or a combination of both, but just didn't look in sync.
No, and injuries, too.
The injuries worried me.
The injuries are more concerning because, you know, you can always clean up the sloppiness. There's time to fix that.
And but I do think, you know, you had guys that are regular parts of the offense, like Gronk and Hernandez, that weren't part of it. And you're working in almost entirely new receivers mm-hmm. without those guys out there. So the fact that it's been a little bit inconsistent probably is to be expected.
Felix wants to know if there's any updates on Dennard's shoulder injury. Only what
nope.
these guys saw.
I feel like Bill. I just came in off the field.
Well, not only that.
Like post-game when Bill tells us
if
that.
This was like Wednesday of week 11, I wouldn't right. have any better idea of his status than I would now. They're certainly not going to tell us anything now.
All we know is he rode in the passenger seat, so that's a good sign, according to Sean Carter.
Well, he's still going with the – some people said shoulder. I thought I saw a leg. He's still trying to say that it was a leg injury, and it was clearly – I mean, it couldn't have been a more obvious shoulder or slash collarbone injury.
If it's not shoulder,
what if it's both? Though Fred's right. Like when if he like blew out his knee and his shoulder in the same play,
that could have been worse. Yeah. My God,
that would suck for a very nice. Especially,
but it looked like they were only looking at his shoulder. It didn't look like they ever like with Ballard. They clearly he sat down. They took his shoe off.
Right.
They took his sock off. They didn't do any of that with Dennard.
I mean,
it was
so,
just his
it was so obvious.
Shoulder.
It was blown. That's
and they were making him like do the thing where you take the one arm. Right. And you try to lift it with the other, and it was clearly that area.
And I'm pretty sure he had a shoulder injury.
Dan,
previously. Might be right.
Dan in previously London writes in, how do you currently rate our young linebackers? It strikes me that we now have a versatile array of talent that looks to be learning the game together as a cohesive unit. We have a range of potential pass rushing threats and excellent run stoppers. This group of players will hopefully be the core of our defense for the next decade.
Who are we talking about?
Spikes
isn't here, so he's not working cohesively with
right.
anyone.
Well,
he's also in the last year of his contract,
and he's in his last year of his contract where he wants to get paid a lot of money, which won't be here.
Spikes, Mayo, Hightower.
How long does
Hightower,
Mayo young?
Collins.
How long? When does Mayo reach the point where he's like Dante Scarnecchia, and he's closer to the end than he is the beginning? As a middle linebacker in the NFL, and now an outside linebacker, but a 100 tackle guy. At what season do you say? You're in the middle of your career.
He's approaching the middle.
So you have Dante Hightower, who's a young linebacker.
Yes.
Unless he's including Dane Fletcher.
Jamie Collins.
Okay. So Hightower and Collins.
Hightower and Collins.
But I just don't see this huge group of... And
I think it could take a completely different look if the first part of our equation, if Spikes ends up being gone next year, then that takes on an entirely different look.
Right.
You have three guys that played together last year that figured to start the season as the stars this year.
Along those
lose
lines,
one.
I need to respond to Gerard Mayo, who had a comment on Sirius Radio last Friday-ish, Thursday-ish, where he was asked about Brandon Spikes not being here, and he said, "Who am I to say whether he should or shouldn't be here? You're the captain of the defense. You're a leader on this football team. Everyone else is here. You are a person to tell him that he should be here. In fact,
what do you think of that?
No one else can tell him but you. The team can't tell." Can't tell him he has to be here.
We told you to keep it down back then.
Under league rules, it's voluntary. Under I'm the captain of this damn defense, it's not voluntary. Yeah. It's mandatory. I can tell you it's mandatory from my perspective.
Yeah,
so you are the actual
what do you
person.
Think? What do you think
you and
that?
Vince Wilfork are the people who should be telling Brandon Spikes that he should be here.
Well, Gerard Mayo thinks he should be here, so then why shouldn't
right.
Brandon Spikes be here?
No, but beyond that, 89 other people thought they should be here.
But
one didn't.
See, that's not as big a part of it to me. I'm more focusing on Mayo's part that Andy brought up. I mean, as a captain...
This is the a-hole thing. You know how we always say, sometimes you got to be an a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the responsibility of being a captain is being able to ruffle feathers and knowing you're going to say something that somebody, at least one person, Spikes, is probably not going to take too kindly to. I'm wondering, as a captain, should you be saying something? Who am I to say? It's not for me to say. No, it is exactly right. You to say.
It is in the best interest of your defense for Brandon Spikes to
be
here.
I think what Mayo should say as a captain is, my feelings about Brandon are between myself and Brandon. But he should say something to Brandon.
And you know what?
No, I would just say Brandon's issue is his issue or something.
And in fairness, maybe Mayo has said that to Spikes privately,
Is
fine.
Question. He said, he basically answered the question with a question. Who am I to say?
Yeah.
No. You are the person to say he should be here. It's your duty as a captain of this football team for which we pay you $50 million, and part of that is as a leader. Right?
Right.
No, I'm calling into question.
You know, and Paul's right. Maybe he did say something to his private, but even his public statement should be
sending a message.
He should say what you said. Right. You know, I'm going to leave that between Brandon and
I will tell you, 89 other guys were here. Wow. So
you don't have to go any further than what Paul said.
I'd like to send him a message, but he's not here for me to tell him.
Right. But I know a lot
he's
of
not
people
on Twitter anymore. So.
That's the other part of it. That 89 people
about
think,
a vagina. And
I read. I think.
Hey, what did you just say? What did you just say?
You know, you'd go over the line like you always.
He said, and then Andy would mention a vagina.
That was good.
But I think Mike wrote something on the Spikes thing. Just that the fact that 89 other people were here, so it's hard to say that he shouldn't be. Like, would it be different if there was, eight people missing? Would that be better? It'd be more excusable? I think that would be worse.
Right.
If you want, if you're missing a lot of guys.
Now you got a problem.
Now you got a problem. That's right.
No, unless, but now there's
well, you
more
have a problem
reason.
With, yeah.
It's an institutional problem.
Exactly.
And therefore it gives you reason to
say
the guy has an, but only one person found it in their heart, their brain, the excuse, whatever, to not be here. So everybody else either felt they should, wanted to. Right. Only one guy didn't.
And I'm not trying to make a big deal. Some teams, these OTAs are more mandatory than others. We know that. Here it seems like it's a pretty regular thing that, it's pretty close to 100% attendance every time, every year.
And usually when it's not, it's a direct link to a contract. Where
that's
this is
why to me it's relevant,
indirect.
And that's why way back at the beginning of May, when Mike originally wrote that thing that was sort of kind of wondering what Brandon Spikes' situation was.
Sort of kind of didn't say anything.
That I brought up, perhaps is this contract related? Is this the potential holdout? And we talked about it at the time at the beginning of May.
But it isn't really contract
other teams,
related.
Other teams have different no, it's not. I mean,
right?
In retrospect, it doesn't look like it is.
It's
He's
sort
planning
of
on being here for minicamp, according to several reports.
So it's related, if at least if we're reading everything, the place he's working out and all
yep.
that. It's related to the next. It's basically related to him wanting this to be his best year so he can get a big contract. But this isn't, I'm not coming unless you give me a big
right.
contract. It's indirectly related to his contract.
Yeah,
we have no
evidence of him saying anything like that.
It's directly related to his time in the league.
But what does it say to the organization that your strength and conditioning program, your coaches,
which
your whatever.
Which everybody else raves about,
aren't
by the way.
Aren't good enough. They're not at a high enough level.
Oh, I'm guarantee that they're not happy with this.
If I'm Harold Nash, who the F are you?
But I'll tell you what I think part
I've
of
turned
this
Rob
is
Gronkowski into the best tight end in football. I've turned Tom Brady into and maintained the healthiest, best quarterback in football. I've got all these guys through the whatever. Who the F are you to say you're better off with some jag-off in Sonoma Beach, Florida, or whatever the hell that place is?
Behind the scenes, I'm sure that they're not happy, but they shouldn't, and they won't come out publicly and chastise the guy.
No, I know, but it's obvious. I mean, you're saying it's not.
Right.
You're better off not being
right.
there.
Right.
You're getting better service
at
some
getting,
guy who may or may not have a degree, who may be some Andy Hart fly-by-night weekend trainer.
Well, no, absolutely. He's getting bad advice.
You know,
we're
talking about a vagina.
He's acting like one of those teenagers that think they have all the answers, I can do it better on my own.
Right.
I don't need any,
I don't like that.
And he's wrong. If he needs something specific tailored to him, I'm sure they would accommodate that as long as he backs
right.
it
That's
up with,
this whole thing. Yeah. Like, you read these quotes and it's all about getting him ready and peaking at the right time and, his fluid movement and his body. And so what Harold Nash and the Patriots does?
Right.
Isn't
the Patriots
that
aren't interested in trying to train him to
right.
be a three-down linebacker.
Or
which
to
evidently
peak at the right time.
Which evidently
to
is the whole goal. I want to prove to everybody fluidity. I'm a three-down linebacker. So as Andy said, he can make the most money he can. The Patriots aren't interested in that. Patriots don't want to get more out of Brandon Spice.
You know how you'd make the most money you could? Stop doing dumb stuff. Because you know what? You know what people missed? You had a very good year last year with 130 tackles.
Solid.
You
last
were a
year.
Pass rusher at
Proved
times.
Me wrong.
And you know what? People don't really notice that because you're still known for doing dumb stuff, whether it be on Twitter or on chat roulette, or whether it be getting suspended, or whether it be not showing off for voluntary workouts. You're known more as a guy who makes the wrong decision for he slash his team than you are for a very good year you had last
year.
Well,
I haven't heard one person other than Spikes, I guess, say that this is a good idea. No one is backing him up.
Well, LaCharles Bentley did, not specifically, but LaCharles Bentley, Gabe Karimi, is sort of on the outs. I don't know if you read my blog entry. Sort of on the outs in Chicago. Bust first-round pick. Needs to figure out, you know, is he a good NFL offensive lineman? He's chosen to stay away, working with LaCharles Bentley, former offensive lineman. And LaCharles Bentley said, sometimes you need to do this. You need to put it on yourself. All the pressure's on you. If you're going to continue your career, if you're going to get a contract, it's on you. If you're going to bust out of the league, it's on you. You're putting, and sometimes that's good for an athlete. So he believes that there could be a positive, but I'm with you. I don't see how this is. Again, the other thing is, these OTAs are like three days a week, right? Or,
right. Mm-hmm.
Nothing saying you
right.
can't do other stuff
right.
with your guy.
Of course.
You make plenty of money. Fly your guy up
yeah.
here. Get his assistant up here so that on the days you're not here, the hours you do whatever. I mean, I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. I just don't buy
How
it.
Much do you think they do when they do those workouts on their own? You know, so they're at this facility in Florida. And I forget the guy's name now, but I know our boy Crapsheet's been tweeting about
yeah.
it. I forget the guy's name now. How much do you think they do, you know, with football setting? Like they're actually doing what you would do at OTA. You know, like, is it an attempt maybe by Spikes to make sure that he stays healthy?
I don't believe it.
You know, he wants to avoid any possibility. Because face it, we've been reading about injuries at these OTAs throughout the league, and obviously we had some today. I mean, TJ Moe got one just running off the line of scrimmage, evidently.
Right.
He tore his Achilles.
So, any question there? There was some hubbub among reporters saying, is that an injury or convenience?
Well, he reportedly had surgery.
I know, I'm just saying.
That's not an injury. First of all, it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
Because you might need a guy at that position.
To do that in June. It makes no sense at
just
all.
Just throwing out there.
This
like
kind of gets back
with
to my whole thing that I think it's ridiculous to say that guys are getting stashed on IR with torn Achilles tendons in June. It's does the Patriots no benefit to have to have exposed that guy to waivers unnecessarily. Now, obviously, no one was going to pick him up. I mean, everybody was surprised he wasn't picked up. Some people were.
My point.
The guy's an undrafted rookie free agent who tore his Achilles. Now, there's a bargain.
Yeah. If you're of the belief.
Surprised the Jaguars didn't pick him up. Right?
I tweeted that out. But
if you're of the belief that the Patriots want him long term to develop.
But I don't think the Patriots have any idea what they have.
Okay,
in
I'm just
TJ
asking.
TJ Moe. You know?
I don't know. No Moe.
And if they want to develop him, that's not the way to do it. That's not the best way to do it. Let's stash him on IR in June.
Well, maybe this was one of those cases where he really did tear his
Achilles. I'm assuming
he
did.
There's no question he did.
Yeah, so this wasn't a stash.
Yeah, I'm assuming. I'm just saying I heard a rumbling from reporters on the Hill. Yeah,
well. Now, Andy's point is that with 90 guys on the roster, you really should be able to figure out a way. If you really wanted to keep him, you would have had to keep him on the roster. You didn't want to expose him to waivers. You would have had to keep him on the roster all the way through training camp. Until you get to the point where you can safely put him on IR without having to expose him to waivers. And Andy's point is, I mean, that's a valid one. 90 guys is a lot. Now, the problem is, out of your 90, how many of those guys are hurt and not available at a given time? You know, look at the Patriots right now probably have 10 or 12 anyway. Now.
Well, they have 5 not here and 8
doing rehab.
Some stage
so
of
13
rehab.
Guys.
Yeah.
Plus Ben Cherington, who was on and off and off and on.
Mm-hmm. Ben Cherington. He's a mammoth defensive lineman, by the way, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
No, but to get back.
Dwayne, is his name Dwayne?
Dwayne.
There's an E in there.
Yeah.
To get back to your thing about, you know, could he be doing football stuff at this?
Yeah.
Well, no. Because even if they're doing the drills, they're not as good.
No,
because
well,
you
I'm
know
saying
what?
That
every
that might
football
be the reason.
Player in the country who is worth anything can't be there. Because he's at OTAs with his team, or he's at a college working out, or so you're dealing with Jags. Washed out Jags,
no,
and a few
I'm
trainers.
Not, I'm not trying to suggest this as giving Spikes the benefit of the doubt, saying he's doing football stuff. I'm saying, might his reasoning for doing it on his own be health? I'm going to
but
ensure
again, that,
that
says,
I'm not going to bang into somebody by accident and hurt myself.
Oh. And now I'm going to bring up vaginas because that's a vagina move.
I
can't
go.
Can't go in worrying about that.
It always gets back to something.
I'm so injury prone. I can't do workouts in shorts and helmets.
Say that was his mindset. I'm asking. Is it possible?
That's ridiculous.
That he says, I want to work out on my own, and another benefit of that is I'm going to make
sure that I'm going
to get into training camp healthy.
Wrap him up in bubble wrap. And you know what those guys don't get? Big contracts. Because everybody loves
when he sticks his jar
a run-stuffing middle linebacker who can't have contact, can't even have non-contact practice.
Do you ever see anybody take something to the theater of the absurd as fast as he does?
You don't think it's absurd if in any way it enters into his mind that I can't go to OTAs because I'll get hurt?
No, I didn't say so I will get, but he wants to make sure that everything that he's gearing himself to is to be in the best shape, to be the fastest he can be, to develop as a linebacker.
That's what everybody's selling.
I know it. That's what people are selling for him. And I want to be in the best possible condition heading into this season as I can. His thought might be, I don't know if it is, that the best way for me to do that is to avoid all of this wear and tear.
Well, but you can't avoid the wear and tear. If you're going to be in shape and in condition, you have to be doing it just elsewhere.
Yeah, well, that's why I was asking what kind of work you think he's doing elsewhere. He might be doing the same stuff with lower caliber people. So his injury risk is not any less. That's why I asked you.
I mean, what is the injury increase to be doing what they're doing on the field here versus just doing drills at a
that's
sports?
That's why I asked you. What kind of drills you think he's doing?
Half a percent. And that is only like I could roll an ankle stepping on another guy's foot or something. That's like the only increase.
But is he doing like anything 11 on 11? Any kind of teamwork?
They're not really doing 11 on 11.
A little bit.
7 on 7.
But they're not touching anyone.
I understand. We know that.
They're not supposed to be, but things happen by accident.
Nothing happens. I'm sorry. If my middle linebacker gets hurt like that, then he's a...
I mean, is your starting cornerback that?
Yeah.
Because he seemed like he got hurt doing something today.
But I think he could have done something doing other stuff. Yes.
You think you could have the same kind of injury? Now, obviously, TJ Moe, that could have happened.
Now, if you're going to do ball drills or something, yeah. If you're going to go up and catch throws, okay, you stumble, you land on a shoulder. I mean, I don't know.
But you don't think that the percentages of getting hurt are a little higher?
Minimally. Just because there's more bodies around.
Well, I don't know that Brandon
Spice
is saying
this. You have to play football on a football field.
During football?
I can't believe you're defending this line
of
thought.
I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form. I think he should be here. If everybody else is here, why shouldn't he be? I'm not defending him in any...
And I also think...
One of the guys that
he's inquiring into what his mindset
might be. I'm trying to figure out what he's thinking. Yeah.
Right. He's not thinking, just like he hasn't been thinking when he's had all these other issues. He doesn't make the mature, proper decision.
Maybe he's saying, you're saying it's football, but it's not football season.
Maybe he's thinking that way. But it is football season. You know, like Mike Florio says, you can't have a baby because you dedicated yourself to a certain thing.
Now, this is part of your season.
Yeah, I'll go with Mike Florio.
No, you're not.
Because on this situation, I kind of feel it's Gronk-like. He should have had an agent or a mother or a coach, a high school, who said, I mean, I know what you're kind of talking about, but I think the best interest for you is to go to OTAs and we'll supplement it with these workouts or whatever. Like, I feel like somebody should have said, this isn't a great idea. All right, this is not the proper thing.
Let's take another completely random hypothetical to try to get inside what he's thinking. Maybe he's sort of closed the door on the possibility of coming back here.
That's a possibility.
And he knows he ain't coming back.
That's a possibility.
That is.
Either he doesn't want to come back or he knows that Bill doesn't want him back or for whatever reason. He knows 99%.
It's over.
It's over. So what am I? I'm going to do as little as possible for that team.
I'll just get by.
And then I'll be ready and I'll play as well as I can during the season. And I'll try to get myself in the best possible. Well,
that's possible, but it shows a bad attitude for whatever team you want to go to afterwards.
Well, not only that, it shows a lack of thought. Because if, in fact, it's all about getting to the next team, doing everything you can this year to be as good as you can be.
That's why it's called a contract year.
Right. It's part of
that. But that's what he thinks he's doing.
But he's wrong. You would agree he's wrong.
I would think that you'd be better off working out with your team, yes.
And especially for him.
I'm just trying to.
He
like
was always sold
that he might be thinking.
An instinctive, natural-born leader, football player. Like,
yeah, but we haven't seen really any of that.
I know. So why were we sold that?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like he came out of nowhere. He was at Florida for 4 years as, I believe, a multi-time All-American who was
in trouble
the Tim
constantly.
Tebow of the deep, but not for football-related stuff. Now he's making poor
football decisions.
I kind of look
at it almost like the Chad Jackson thing. It's like when, you know, and you're like, why were we told that? Well, I wonder now if we were told it a lot because it was an issue.
But now, I had heard plenty of stories about him sort of doing his own thing at various times, but not in terms of being like a leader and a football player and a guy that teammates would say, I'm okay with that. I think he's done things here that teammates would say, I'm not okay with that. Although Mayo wouldn't, because who's he?
Who might have judged?
Melvin from Tennessee says, do you guys think that Spice can realistically become a three-down backer? I believe that skills you possess now won't vary enough to make a big change.
No.
What do you guys think? A good answer would be, I don't know.
No, the right answer would be no.
I don't think he's a
certainly can't tell
linebacker.
When he's not here.
But you know what? Andy, go ahead. How many three-down linebackers out there in the NFL?
Gerard Mayo's one. Doesn't mean he's a playmaker.
There aren't many, though.
But there are, I mean, each team has one or two that, because of the necessity, play on all three downs.
Right.
But, no, I mean, what would change now? So are you telling me, I just want to clarify, Brandon, you haven't been doing drills and working hard to be a three-down linebacker for the last, I don't know, seven-plus years? Have you never wanted to be more athletic and not run a 5-1-40 and that wouldn't have helped your draft status? You didn't prepare prior to the draft? It's sort of like Tim Tebow. He's fixing his throwing motion now. Well, why didn't he fix it 10 years ago? There's some things you can't fix. Tebow can't throw. What was that now?
Being blackballed.
Yeah. Tebow can't throw, and Spikes can't be fast. You know, he wasn't born that way. He was not born a four or five linebacker. He was born, you know, he's kind of like Ty Poole. You know, he's got instincts, he can hit, he's physical, but he doesn't have the speed. It wouldn't be fair if he had the speed.
If he was big.
Right. Ty Poole had everything except the career he thinks he had. He was a jag.
Except the ability to cover.
Who got like one all-pro vote 1 year and thought he was God's gift to literally, God's gift to cornerbacks.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're just talking OTAs here.
I just got wound up over absolutely nothing, and it's weird.
What else is new?
Yeah.
It's a good point. Nobody winds me up like your mother, though. Oh!
Hold on 1 second. I'll be right there. Happy birthday, Paul. 65 and looking good.
Thank you.
Big day for him. Got his AARP card.
It's a great day. Get money off at the movies.
Yeah.
They actually, AARP, they sent him a bill for all the back payments he owed them.
He's just staring at Fred now.
He couldn't even speak.
He never.
It's like him trying to hit my batting practice pitches.
Which, by the way, you have to do again.
Yes.
Now, did that video go up? Have people seen that?
I don't know.
I don't think so, because I got a tweet from somebody yesterday saying, when's the video going up on the website?
Kevin, do we have video on the Facebook page of the baseball challenge? Fred, what are you doing?
I don't know. I thought we had that taken care of.
Can you make a call?
I think we need
Can you throw your weight around? And that's pretty significant now.
I think we need a better job of videoing next time.
Why? Was it not good?
Well, I just think it was like straight video, and it's going to take a lot of editing to get anything useful.
What, you want natural? Six cameras, ready to take
right.
two.
He wants to film the natural.
He wants the outfield third base.
No, but I think what Paul is saying is he just...
It's like 20 minutes
of hit record and just raw footage. Yeah. You can't just put raw footage up on the website.
No, but just edit it real quick. Andy can hit. Ting! Fred can't.
Half an hour worth of
I don't think
your
real quick is, like, possible.
Yeah.
Based on what they have.
Is this another one of those editors complaining about how long it's going
to
take them?
No one's complained to me.
It's because they haven't thought once about actually doing it.
They laughed when they got it.
Right.
We need to do what?
They probably threw it in the garbage. No one's respecting Fred's wishes.
Quick question about the Spike situation.
I don't know.
I know you don't.
He's
know.
Fine.
But, he's fine. How do we know?
We don't, actually. Wouldn't that be great if he shows up for minicamp on, like, crutches or something?
What are the chances that he went to Bill at the end of the year? You know, you always talk about these exit interviews, and at that time, maybe a contract thing was you know, brought up by Spikes, or maybe his agent reached out to the organization, and Bill probably gave his, you know, what are you bleeping kidding me type thing, and, you know, Brandon did say, all right, screw it, forget it. I'm just not going to come here. Or the flip side is Brandon had a conversation with him and said, does this guy have this trainer that I heard about, whatever. Maybe there's some special equipment, I don't know, something, a pool, something he's working in to get in tip-top shape, and maybe there's an agreement there. Is there any likelihood of that?
Nope. I don't see that.
The first one's more likely where his agent might have asked for some type of extension. they flat out said no. It's like, okay,
the
well,
first one is,
I'm only going to be there for what I have to be there
right.
for.
The first one's more likely because I don't think it ever benefits you not to be with your team.
Okay.
I mean, because he could be doing all of those things that the trainer showed him to do here.
Right.
After he does his OTA practices and his mini camp practices.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like that they don't have a state-of-the-art facility
exactly.
either and state-of-the-art staff.
Right. We got one of those treadmills with anti-gravity. We got one of those Swimex. I mean, we got everything you need.
And who better to show you the way than a guy named Moses?
All right.
It's a good point.
All right, Christian.
You know what I did think is funny, though? Joe Andruzzi is part of the summer strength and conditioning staff. I don't really know what his role is specifically. He's been doing it for years. But he's out there, and like he does stretching, and then when they break off, he goes and works with Ryan Wendell and Sebastian Vollmer. It's like, oh, we'll give the fat X offensive lineman the two offensive. Like, all he's doing is timing them and telling them, go, stop. He couldn't do that with Devin McCourty. He couldn't do that with Nate Ebner. No, we'll just give him the offensive lineman to work with. I just think it's funny, like, easy, low-hanging fruit. Yeah, you go work with the offensive lineman. They're your type of people, you know, fat white guys. Go. You don't find that funny?
I'm sure they're
Why doing, doesn't he get to work with, like, skill players?
I'm sure they're doing something specific that they need to do, you know, separately.
Hogwash.
Hogwash?
I haven't heard hogwash in quite a while.
No.
Listen to me.
Took me by surprise.
Joe Andruzzi's a hero. Don't you knock him.
No.
Who's knocking Joe
Andruzzi? It's actually the opposite. I think he deserves the opportunity to work with, like, Josh Boyce and Mark Harrison and give him some young. If he wants to be like a strength and conditioning coach, don't just make him work with the fat white guys.
Unless he wants to be an offensive line coach.
Fat white guys need help too.
I know, but why can't Moses Cabrera help the
fat
white guys?
Fat girls need love too.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what your insight is on what Bill Belichick said in a convention about 2 months ago. Bill said there is no I in team, but there is an I in win. This is somewhat strange coming from a coach who has always had a team-first mentality. I remember hearing about this story from Eric Scalavino, but I don't recall the topic being mentioned on the show. Just wondering what your guys' insight is on this. Well, Eric, you wrote the story.
Yeah, I mean, it was during he was addressing a collection of, I think, team physicians.
Yeah,
it was a conference for NFL team physicians that was taking place here in Boston. And
ching!
Dr. Gill was, I think, one of the spearheaders of the organizers of the event. So he got Bill to say some things, and among them was kind of a surprising comment, I thought, that he finally acknowledged that individual performance actually matters in the outcome of a game, because that's one thing he is loath to admit in post-game interviews. Whenever somebody brings up, oh, what did you think about,
I'd say the same about
Aaron Hernandez. Yeah, I'd say it's exactly. That's the answer he would always give. But
now, ask you about all the guys.
In a room where, I mean, he had to know that the comments would get out
obviously.
Some point. So it's not like he was caught by surprise that what he said was eventually broadcast, but I thought it was surprising that he finally admitted it, because it's something that one of those things that he refuses to acknowledge when any one of us brings it up.
Yeah, now I think his point is probably the investment. The I is personal investment in the team and in the victory. You know, it matters. You know, your individual investment pushes the team towards the victory, which is the goal. I don't think he's saying, you know, you need a superstar
to
win.
Right.
I don't think that was the message.
We don't need someone to go off the...
Although you do need a superstar to win. His name's Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
No, I don't think what he said was inconsistent with anything that he said
Just
before.
A little different wording.
Just a little bit different way. And like Eric said, acknowledging the individual efforts... guy like Ron Borges has said it for years, you know, you got to have the horses.
Right.
I don't care how good your coach is. If he doesn't have the horses, he ain't going to win.
Players win.
How do you debate that? You can't. Of course you need that, you know.
And Belichick can't.
Right.
When you had the horses, you won. When you didn't have the horses, you didn't win.
Right. So, Scott writes in, after Fred hung up on me Tuesday, Andy suggested last Thursday that I let you know what happened with the tickets that you gave me to the Nate Solder Hall speaker series for my family. In true PFW fashion, I asked him some questions I thought that Andy may ask. Question. Coming out of college, the rap on you was that you needed to get stronger. How have you done that in the last 2 years? Nate said the first time I actually did any bench presses in college, I did 225 pounds 11 times. And Scott said, that's good for a receiver. And Nate said, yeah, right. Then at the combine, I did it 21 times. The last time I did it here, I was up to 27.
Nice.
So that's all good info.
Okay.
That was the only straight answer I got. Here are the others. Question, is your center of gravity an issue that you have to be aware of given your height? Nate, it is for everyone. Question.
Oh, wow. So he treated him fans like he does us.
Is there someone in the league that you model your game on? Nate said, there are so many different systems it almost is impossible to replicate someone else. So that was basically what he got out
okay,
of it.
Okay. So Scott was glad he got the tickets for free.
Scott, yeah. were you the only one asking questions?
then he said, are there any good Gronk stories? He started to impersonate Gronk, which was a cross between Herman Munster and the cartoon Butthead.
I absolutely could see that.
And then some jerk, seeing his girlfriend was in the audience, asked him when he was getting married. This was uncomfortable for him, but he still would not answer me. He was the jerk.
Yeah.
at the end, he was standing with Brian Morey, and I asked him when Nate would be on PFW, which garnered the question from Nate, what is PFW?
Oh, screw you.
He's out.
My kid loved it, and seeing he is an aspiring 11-year-old lineman, thought his dad was cool for about 2 hours. That's gone, of course, now. So good. I'm glad you,
glad you enjoyed it.
The time. Mm-hmm. Pleasure to give you the tickets. We can thank Brian Morey for that, being very generous, executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place.
Presented by Raytheon.
You guys seem tired a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. I'm a little sick.
Are you?
Yeah, I got a little head cold.
A little head cold.
Yeah.
How long have you had it?
2 days.
A very strong virus going around.
I'm hoping it's just allergy related, but it feels like it might be more than that.
Okay. Got my pool back in order, by the way.
It's good.
Good this morning.
Good. The pool. My pool's so far so good.
Get that back in order.
It's been a week.
Freaking out a little
more
bit.
Than a week.
Got to have it ready so that Andy can hold his nose when he jumps in at your
right.
party.
That's right.
And I will.
Don't you know how, just breathe out when you get hit the water.
I can't successfully do that consistently.
It's like I'll do
it. Is it a fear thing?
And then, yeah, you get like that weird coughing and burning. And
is it a fear thing?
No, I'm just not good at it.
It's a fear thing.
I don't think so.
You have no control over your body.
Like, do you panic? Afraid. Like, when you are you panic to jump in the
water? My dreams show you that.
Do you get like that panic sensation when you're about to jump in?
No. I get that panic sensation when my nose is burning and there's water in the back of my throat.
But you're thinking about if you just breathe out, you're fine. But or don't breathe in.
There's
just
a way to
breathe.
Jump in without that happening.
Well, I think what happens is I'm thinking about breathing out, like, because everybody says like you blow out a little out your nose.
Yeah.
But I think, you know how when you blow out, before you blow out, you do a little suck in to blow out? I think I do the suck in when I hit the water and get water up my nose.
Or you can just not breathe. Just, you know, not
I'll
breathe
die.
At all.
I'll die.
Why don't we give you like those little clips?
Why,
that the
you normally do breathe when you're underwater?
Those little orange rubber clips that they used to have.
I think it looks funnier when he actually holds his nose.
No further questions, as you would say.
No, I let go of my. Do I let go of my nose when I'm in the water?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
I don't think I do. I think I hold it till
you
pop
hold
out.
It till you pop out.
I don't think so.
I don't think he does.
And, you know, that's even funnier.
And it's so funny because with the T-Rex arms, he can barely reach his nose.
Fat shoulders makes fun of me for my arm length.
T-Rex.
Oh, boy.
we finalized the menu?
Yeah. Steak.
Make your own Sunday.
Steak. Salmon. Salmon kebabs.
Don't look at me
salmon.
When you say that.
Can we change that?
Hamburger, hot dogs.
Swordfish.
You really are.
I don't eat salmon.
It is swordfish. It is swordfish.
You're the highest of
I think you had salmon last year. It wasn't real popular.
I think no, it's sort. It's I think it is swordfish kebab.
Because you had that a couple years ago and they were good.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay,
steak, then, burgers, and dogs.
Steak, burger,
okay.
dogs.
No,
do you have
make
your own Sunday?
Is there a pasta salad? Is there a pasta salad?
I don't know if there's a pasta salad. And they make your own Sunday bar.
Okay. Will they have the
kids,
the anchovies?
Yeah, for the kids,
for the Caesar.
If you like them,
yeah,
okay.
Good and salty.
You like that?
Yeah.
Which ones are these?
Anchovies.
The anchovies.
For the Caesar salad.
You don't
salad.
Eat those. There's no bleeping way you eat those.
Anchovies?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, for somebody who doesn't eat any seafood, that would be a random, like, break the rule.
No. Well, I mean, I'll eat some.
You
I'll
eat
try...
deep-fried seafood.
It's
all you
tuna
eat
fish.
Is calamari.
No, but I'll eat tuna
and
fish.
And calamari.
And I will try, like, I've had swordfish before. It's not bad.
The last
some
time they
things,
had
I'm not
it was
like
good.
Eric that I just absolutely despise everything that comes from the sea. Right? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
I've tried lobster and things
you know,
like that.
Jesus was a fisherman.
I don't really like lobster like
men.
Most people do.
Well,
fisher of men.
But he was also, oh no, he was a carpenter. I take that back. The apostles were.
Yeah, Peter was the fisherman.
Right. What?
So he should want to eat Jesus?
George
even if he was a fisherman,
George
I don't get the connection.
George Gonsi.
He's thinking of George Bailey.
I don't know why.
It sounds like George Bailey.
I know, but I always want to say that when I.
Because Gonsi sounds like an old-fashioned
right.
name.
You could say it to him, and he'd have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
George is
he doesn't
a little
seem
bit
very
of an old
human.
Name.
He, like,
that's
he
an
has
old
a
name.
Very
George
humorous.
Is an old name.
Not like ridiculously old, but
no,
it is an old name.
It's kind of like Fred.
Fred is the guy next door's name.
Yeah. Frederick's is
absolutely
the old guy with the mustache.
Somewhere named Fred. I don't like Fred.
I don't. It's Brian and Henry.
You don't like Fred.
I've never liked Fred.
I don't know. Jake Steele.
Well, that's.
Why didn't you change your name at a young age?
Why don't you use your middle name?
I don't dislike it that much.
Is it that much of an issue?
No, but well, there's a lot of people
some
that
people
go
do, like,
by
their first initial and middle name. What's your middle name?
Steven.
F.
You don't
Steven
like Steven
Kirsch?
Kirsch. F. Steven Kirsch?
Again, it didn't matter to me that much.
But it kind of does.
Kind of does.
Not really.
No, I don't think it does.
Not really. I could care less what people call me.
We play characters.
It's good to know.
I'd rather them not call me.
F. Stephen Kirsch. That'd be a good like edit letter signature.
F. Kirsch Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Stephen. Stevie Kirsch. Just go by Steve.
Do you like
no
Steve?
No one has to know what your middle name.
What?
Do you like Steve?
Hey, Stevie.
I really don't care.
Why don't you do the two initials like E.E. Cummings or, F.W. Kirsch or F.S. Kirsch.
What the W?
Well, I don't know.
I don't like Kirsch either.
Or just go by Kirsch.
Yeah.
Kirsch.
Well, I was going to say.
Well, he doesn't like it.
Yeah,
so.
That's where he's met in some corners of the organization is just Kirsch.
Right.
You have spent more time thinking about your name than most, I think.
I think a lot of people think about their name.
My youngest wants to change his name.
Why?
TJ.
Oh, yeah?
Thomas. He wants to change his name so he can move up in alphabetical order. He's tired of being the last one to get everything in
there
the class.
There you go.
But wait, they go by first name, not last?
They go by first names on stuff. You know, like all the folders are set up and they're everything.
He could change his name to Armin Armstead.
He could.
Then he'd be covered no matter what.
Did you know there's an actor, Armie Hammer?
Yes, he's the Winklevoss twins in The Social Network.
Okay.
Right. Oh, okay. Now I know who that is.
I mean, there's a rich magnet, industrial magnet named Armin.
He's related to
them.
He's
his nephew or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So that wasn't much of a stretch that he played that pompous windbag in Social Network, huh?
Those. Yeah. He played the twins.
Yeah, but it was one guy that did both.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
He played the.
Okay. Now, did you guys think about your signature, like when you were young? Like, how does my signature look?
No, and I wish I had because it sucks.
Oh, yeah, I have a terrible signature.
I did.
Oh, mine is Scribble.
I'm
you
not
would not
surprised.
Know.
Not even in the least.
Captain Anal, I believe it.
Well, the good thing now is like all the contracts are PDFs now, and you can do the digital signature. So I don't even have to sign my name anymore.
Really? You've done it once, and now you've...
No, it's not even that. It's a certificate that gets placed in the PDF. It's not a facsimile of your signature. And I use that for...
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
But I think that doesn't make it authentic to you.
I don't want it. I just don't. I don't care.
He
the
doesn't
point
want
is
anybody
I don't
to know
have to
his
sign
name
my
is
name
Fred
anymore.
Or Kurt.
Right.
I have terrible handwriting, though.
Well,
I always wanted to make it look like you could kind of tell that it was.
Well, what if you put your signature on a grid? Then you could do it really well.
Oh, that's funny.
It'd take a really long time, though. Imagine being behind him in the bank. He's endorsing his checks.
Gonna be a while.
Why does your signature look like a dog?
I have the problem that mine changes a lot. My signature is not very consistent.
Really?
I've noticed, which kind
depending
of defeats...
Depending on your blood sugar level or what?
I don't know. Well, no, because I always do A-N-D, and then there's just some sort of stuff after that. But it's never the same, and I'm like, the point is for it to always be the same, right? Like, so they can check
your
signature.
Well, relatively, close.
And then they're like, this doesn't look anything...
Yeah. Mine's very similar, but it's not neat, and it's not cool in any way. It's not a good signature.
Yeah, the people that do...
Yeah.
Paul has a fountain pen filled with Diet Pepsi. He signs it.
Well, I'm not the one that's ever worked on my
There would never be any liquid to sign with. You would suck it down all the time.
Have you ever noticed, though, that people who do sign autographs, like famous people who sign autographs, the autograph always looks like it was, like, designed.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because they change. There's no doubt in my mind they change. Like, if we asked, Chandler Jones, get a canceled check from 3 years ago, it's not what he's signing now.
But how are they changing?
They get creative.
In the Super Bowl in 01 that Patriots won, my son met Tom Brady in the hotel lobby, or not lobby, in the hallway, because same row. Back then I had a room, and, it was nice. Anyway. My son had his cap signed by Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And you know, we still have the cap, and the signature does not look like it does now.
Well,
it's changed.
Yeah, there's other issues.
Well, there's a replay. That could be another reason.
It might be a different reason for that.
But it does change. These guys,
they definitely, yeah, they know they're cool, and then like you have to think, what do I want to be? I mean, you think about it, Tom Brady. You're going to have signatures forever. You know, upper deck or whatever, like, it's going to be a commodity.
But I also think some of these guys just initial things. They don't actually sign it.
Yeah, yeah.
They just put, like, Brady, I see at training camp, he goes so fast, he has to be initialing.
But that's part of it, too, is learning to, A, do it fast, and B, do it on all the different things you do it on.
Yeah.
Like, I could never write my full name on, like, a baseball or a jersey. Mm. So I think they come to some sort of,
middle ground
is my symbol.
Right.
And that's why a lot of them throw a number in there, too.
Right.
Because you can't really even identify them.
Mm. Nope.
Will has, like, from last year, when the Saints were here, he got pretty much everybody from the Saints. He got a handful of Patriots, but pretty much the entire Saints team, from Drew Brees right on down, everybody signed. It's impossible to figure out who everybody is unless they have the number in there.
Let's see. Sorry, Nick says, I had a question about the rookie wide receiver development. I was reading the news article about the OTAs, and something struck me as very interesting. In one of the stories, it stated that when the team started doing special teams drills, Brady, Amendola, and Jenkins broke off to get some extra work. My first thought was, why isn't our third-round pick one of the people spending extra time developing a rapport with Tom? So my question is essentially this. Could Bill's desire to draft a four-down player at that position be hurting their development? While they are practicing running down kickoffs, Tom is busy developing trust with the other guys. So I guess he's speaking of Dobson there.
Dobson was a second-round pick.
Yeah, I think that's who he's talking about, though. I don't – it's not as cut and dried as that. I think that he's getting plenty of time to work with Brady. Now, he's right. The email is right. Generally, when Brady is broken off separately – it's been in Amendola and Jenkins. You know, today it was a little Hernandez. Mm-hmm. He was working out with him a little bit, but we already talked about Hernandez did a little bit more today than he has been. I don't know if it's you know, necessarily because they want Dobson to be a four-down player. I don't think that's what it is. I think he's going to get plenty of opportunities to work and continue to work with Tom, and we'll see how that all unfolds.
He's also probably going to have to play special teams.
Well, that's what they're talking about.
Oh, okay.
You know, is it the desire that Dobson – to draft this receiver as a four-down player, is that eliminating his chances to continue to work?
So.
And I don't think that's necessarily the same thing.
I think virtually any player who's not – I mean, if you're drafted fifth overall and you're A.J. Green, okay, you might not be playing special teams. You're going to be our number one receiver. Pretty much everybody else, you're going to have a role on special teams.
Yeah.
You're no superstar.
And I don't think
son.
That's taken away from his potential to work with Tom Brady.
No.
Is my
it
point.
Also doesn't mean Michael Jenkins is going to be a key part of the offense in here if he keeps performing the way he's performing.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance that Michael Jenkins isn't even around when
he's just taking advantage of, I'm not on special teams. Tom Brady's over there. I'm going to go work with Tom Brady.
And I will say that Dobson has been the target, I'd say, frequently from Brady while they're doing 7-on-7s and even full team stuff.
The target part is funny.
Well, I don't think they've connected a lot.
I know, so I'm envisioning like the little column post game where Dobson
targets
9,
catches
2. Well worded.
We should mention that Deacon Jones died.
Yeah, fierce and foursome.
Michelle from Stockholm writes in regards to Deacon Jones passing, I'm so grateful that I got to meet him once.
Wow.
We were
That's
guests
random.
On a TV show that Steve Hartman did for Showtime called Out of Bounds. It was him, me, and Lee Steinberg talking about sports and other nonsense. He was a flirt in a non-creepy way, a total gentleman, and a sweetheart with that deep voice of his. It'll be a memory for life, thoughts and prayers to his family.
Sounds
and
like she
loved
wanted
ones.
To get sacked by the deacon.
But I mean, it's a nice email he has to go.
Because that's where he goes with everything.
But Michelle was on a TV show with
that's
Lee
really
Steinberg
cool.
talking sports.
Yeah, I don't really understand it.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Now, she may not have been on it.
Because she's the casting director, right?
Yeah, so she was, like, on set.
Right.
Not necessarily on it.
Oh, I see.
Although, maybe she was on it.
What do you mean by it?
The show!
The deacon?
The little deacon? Is that a little deacon in your pants?
See now.
Unbelievable.
See now,
really, it's unbelievable.
We just got thrown off the sports hub for that.
We're talking about a TV show that she was on, and I say, maybe she was on it, and he automatically assumes that
of course he's
the little deacon.
Well, she was talking about him flirting in a non-creepy way.
That's true.
In a non-Eric way.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Well,
Let's see. Jacob from Deacon. Denmark.
What's his real name?
David.
David Deacon Jones? Why is he called Deacon?
I forgot what
the minister
was.
Of the defense?
I don't know.
Well, that was one of his nicknames, was the minister, or defense. The secretary of defense was his nickname.
Well, minister would make more sense. Because
minister
a deacon
was,
like a
Reggie White.
Reggie White was the minister.
No, but isn't a deacon like a minister? Isn't a deacon some sort of...
Right. That'd be the European version, though, minister.
So
ministries over there. Of like, instead of secretary, they go by minister. Secretary of Defense.
What are we talking about? I got confused somewhere in there.
I don't know.
Deacon Jones's nickname was originally the Secretary of Defense.
So why is he deacon?
Because he was a deacon. He became
a real deacon.
Yeah.
Oh, so he wasn't Deacon Jones when he played?
He was.
Oh. So then how did he become a deacon before he was deacon?
No, I think he was a deacon when he was
playing. Always a deacon.
Well, not always, but...
But Michelle, it sounds like his name was always Deacon.
Michelle says she was on the show. She
see?
She said she lived in L.A. for 15 years.
See? No, I know, but what was her role on the show?
Maybe she
was your role on the show, Michelle? Were you actually out on set talking sports with Lee Steinberg and Deacon Jones, or were you behind the cameras facilitating the show?
And were you looking to...
Oh, my God.
No, see, we're not interested in that.
I am.
You are, but, you know.
You are too.
No,
don't pretend
really.
You're above that.
I really wasn't.
That wouldn't be a great story if she hooked up with Deacon Jones and Deacon Jones died today and she had this fling, this roll in the sack, so to speak.
It would be interesting, but, you know, I wasn't thinking that.
See, if he was a sack master. Wouldn't want him to hit you in the head, though, with that slap.
No.
That would be domestic violence.
Let's
Maybe
see.
She likes it a little rough.
Oh, rough. Just the way your mother likes it.
AJ in Las Vegas, after hearing about Ballard being ready for the start of the season and Gronk mid-September... Do you guys think that Ballard will be as productive as he was with the Giants?
Not after he limped off today.
He had 67 yards in the game-winning TD against us in Gillette Stadium when he was with the Giants.
Yeah, I could see him being as productive as he was with the Giants.
And he looks
meaning
like
not
he has
very
promise.
Productive.
Right. He's not as fast as Gronk, but he has great hands, and he's hard to bring
down. He doesn't
down
have great
with
hands.
A 6'6 frame. I figure with Vereen and Ridley pounding the rock and Hernandez and Ballard playing a hybrid tight end and receiver combo, we could still have a great offensive season with a good, young, improving defense. What do you guys think?
He doesn't have great hands.
No.
Not even close to Gronkowski type hands.
Oh, no. That percentage I put of him being sort of like a replicator of Gronkowski or a backup goes down every time I see him catching. He's not a fluid athlete with good hands. Like
Michelle says she was talking sports with them, and no, she did not sleep with Deacon Jones.
I didn't say did.
That's unfortunate.
Did you want to?
Because, as Andy would say, that would have been a great story.
It would have been. On
yes.
the day he
yes.
dies, one of
Unlike
our listeners.
Unlike mass death, that would have been a great story.
who said mass
like you,
death?
Like
was
you,
a great
just
story.
Like random people dying.
That's not mass
mauled.
Death. If Eric got mauled by a lion, right. That's one person dying, not mass death.
Evidently.
Still, he says that my death would be a great story to
oh,
him.
Oh, come on. If you went on a safari and got mauled by a lion, on some level, it's a great story. It's not good for you or your family.
And
but
if
it's
it
a
happened
great story.
During mass, it would be a mass death. What was that, Paul? You held out your phone for a second.
Do you have Gronk not in a cast again?
No. Please. Please.
At some point, Paul was reporting Gronk was not in a cast.
Briefly, for about 5 minutes.
Gronk was in a cast.
Until he was in a cast.
Oh,
I had
saw
the wrong
Gronkowski.
I had the wrong Gronkowski.
Oh.
I apologize 1,000 times. I made an ass of
you.
You
made a mistake that I
thousand times to
many
you.
A young college girl has made. Whoa. You're not Rob?
I apologize.
Paul, didn't you have something you want to report?
Yeah, but I can't find the name. He nicknamed himself Deacon after a Rams fullback that was Deacon Towler or something like that, but I can't find the exact name.
Okay.
He nicknamed himself?
Yeah. Well, the Secretary of Defense
nickname
was
Deacon
his,
now.
His other
just
name.
Went down a little bit in my book.
Yeah,
you
right.
don't
you
nickname
can't give
yourself.
Yourself a nickname.
That's lame.
Yeah, it is.
Who knew that this guy, this badass mofo, was lame?
Dan
I can say that now because he can never find me and take care of me.
Dan in Virginia, given Fred doesn't like his first, middle, or last name, has he considered following in Prince's footsteps and changing his name to a symbol? What symbol would that
be? Oh, that's
easy. The Elvis logo.
No, it would be that penis thing he wears on his shirt that he says looks like a fly fishing thing. But
the Orvis logo?
Yeah, which looks like a big penis. That's what it would be.
No, he'd wear the Patriots logo all around. Right?
No. Because even...
What happened?
Even though he's been pretty loyal to the Patriots, you know how he changes the Broncos, the Jets, the Mets, whatever that whole era was.
How about an NFL shield?
According to this story, it says Jones nicknamed himself Deacon in honor of Deacon Dan Towler, a Rams fullback who was one of the NFL's first black stars.
Oh. Okay. I don't care for it, though.
Yeah, you can't get
Did he become a deacon later?
Was Eric completely wrong?
I thought he became a deacon.
Eric Scalavino. Wrong again.
Well, Merlin Olsen became a man of the cloth.
I didn't ask. His name's not Deacon.
No, but he was part of that.
He was also on Highway to Heaven.
And Rosie Gray used to knit.
No, that was Michael Landon.
Correct.
He was Little House on the Prairie and Father Murphy.
Father Murphy.
Merlin Olsen.
Oh. Merlin Olsen.
Who was the guy with the beard on Highway to Heaven?
Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven was the Michael Landon. He played like an angel or something, right?
Yeah, and they go town to town and did something. So he wasn't a football player.
You don't remember that? You don't remember Michael Landon?
Oh, Highway to Heaven was on for a long time.
But I'm trying to think of who the guy with the beard was on Highway to Heaven. I don't think it was a football player.
I don't think it was either. I'm wrong.
No. It was like Merle Haggard or something like that. One of those guys. I don't know.
I don't think that's it. But
no. It was like one of those guys that always played in those types of roles.
I liked that show.
I didn't.
That show was on for a long time and pretty popular.
Was Highway to Heaven? Time.
Yeah.
Because then it was also in repeats, and that was, I liked it. That was back when TV was TV.
Yeah.
Good story.
Good quality story. You know, original programming.
Original programming had a message, you know, morals.
Yep. I don't know. Like, if you look around, though, today, you know, when you go beyond the networks, there's some really good shows out there.
Like what?
Just Game of Thrones, everyone
they stole
loves,
it from a book.
House of Cards.
Was Highway to Heaven a book?
What?
Was Highway to Heaven a book?
I don't know.
How about somebody has an idea
of their
own?
It's about the Bible, so yeah, it is.
No, it wasn't about the Bible. He's just an angel.
Yeah.
Well, where does that come from?
The Game of Thrones is a book.
Yeah. It's great TV.
I'd like know that they, you know, just come up with an idea, make a TV show. Not steal it.
Could it have been Victor French?
Victor French.
He's just in his own little world.
Now, Mr. French was from Family Affair. That was Sebastian Cabot.
That is correct.
What is going on?
They keep showing these Eric Spoelstra clips. How much do you think he makes? Or do you know?
I don't know.
At least $1 million.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he makes at least $1 million.
Wow.
He's head coach of a three-time NBA Finals team. Could win another title. Came a long way since he was a film room junkie. Plus, he's banging marrying a Heat cheerleader now.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't go home. He lives in the building, essentially, which would make sense, you know. But
well, we should also give a shout out to the Bruins.
They won't let him back in.
You know, speaking of other sports,
yes. Shout out
6-1.
Who would have thought it?
Although you got to be careful, Freddie.
What?
Yeah, this is supposedly a Patriots town, except since the Patriots won, all the other teams have won at least once.
That's true.
Another team that's looking for another.
But it's unbelievable.
The Red Sox are in first
place. How
they're
handling Pittsburgh.
It's, that Marshawn goal at the end of the first period was pretty sweet.
That was huge.
Never before do you see a goal where somebody's talking,
scores,
and talks some more.
It was funny. He was
sorry, I got to score real quick, but I'll get back to you.
He was ready to throw the gloves down.
Yes.
And then he realized, we have a breakaway.
Oh.
And then he came back.
Yeah.
It was like the goal interrupted his argument.
Yeah.
See that happen to me.
And it was tremendously entertaining.
It was hilarious. But, that was a great shot.
Oh, yeah.
From far away.
They scored some beautiful goals last
the
night.
Only thing
the one
has,
that
like,
Krejci one, but, had yeah. on the tic-tac-toe and then Bergeron's at the beginning of the third
period. I
don't
mean to be negative, but part of me is like, are the Bruins dominating or are the Penguins just absolutely pooping themselves
both.
On national TV?
I think
the Bruins are making them look
They
bad,
are,
too.
But I think the Penguins are just showing themselves
I'll tell you one
a
thing
heartless
that's dramatic,
bunch of dinks.
One part of this that's dramatically overrated is the criticism the Penguins goalies are getting. Because there haven't been a lot of bad goals that they've allowed.
I think the key to this success the Bruins have had is when the defense got hurt and they had to bring those young kids in. And ever since then, that defense has been lights out.
Absolutely. And I know they only have one guy still playing out of the three young guys that had to play. But
it elevated
to me,
the whole defense.
The whole
Seems
team has not played like they've played the
energy-wise.
Last
energy-wise.
Since that happened, they didn't play like this all year,
yeah.
The way they're playing now.
Yeah.
And Yager? What about Yager?
Yager.
Hey.
He's not scoring, but he's providing
there.
Something.
He made a couple of good plays last night to set up goals.
They're so good that next game, I'm going to make it through the third period before I finish.
There you go.
No chance. On a Wednesday, no chance.
All right, I'm going to need you guys to finish up for me. You got about 7 more minutes. I have to be up by 3 o'clock.
So. What do you got?
Big
got
meeting?
A meeting.
Is it a big one, or is it like you, Jana, and Chris?
It's not a huge meeting, but I have to be there. It's a phone call meeting. So, all right, so I'll be taking off. What's today, Tuesday?
Yes.
So we'll be back Thursday. But these guys will keep you company for the next 7 minutes.
All right.
Six.
So what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Let's try to find that Highway to Heaven answer.
I think it was Viktor Frankl.
Eric, go over there and read emails. People now
he's logging out really probably slow. Already. Right?
Now we can clean up the emails that he never reads that people get mad at. So until then, Paul and I
we weren't able to
ourselves.
Log in on the last show.
Were you concerned about either Ballard or Ridley or just Dennard?
Mostly Dennard.
A little bit with Ridley.
Well, the thing with me
hamstrings
is hamstrings.
Obviously
because they could linger.
Right. For running backs?
Yeah, and that's concerning to
but
me.
But there's so much time that they could get him off his feet that he should be okay.
Yeah, and then he gets back and he runs once and he's
but
always
at didn't Vereen have a hamstring his rookie year during this time of year?
I hate hamstrings.
And then
injuries.
It continued
not,
into
not
camp?
Not during this time of year because they were locked out.
Right. Came
late. No, but I thought
camp.
It did?
Yes.
Okay.
But my concern is all hamstring
injuries.
In fact,
I believe
linger.
It happened in the in-stadium practice of training camp that year.
The things he chooses to remember.
Well, because he covers
those.
Because
I'm the only one that's ever here for that.
Woe is Paul.
You know what time it is now. And now the computer froze up.
Time for Paul to pretend he does it all.
Not a good time for the computer.
There was a time please. Brief that last week
a time
you
brief.
Weren't here that Eric and I were under the assumption that we're not going to have one of those in-stadium practices this year because it was
yeah.
going to be we thought it was after it was going to be after camp had broke.
Yeah, we were misinformed.
We misinterpreted the rules. So I think it'll be around the time that it normally is.
I'm trying to
so
get
you got that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
well, I always get the weekend.
And he likes to have these things that he can look back and go, "Oh, woe is Paul."
No, I don't.
Because if you didn't have those, you'd be lost in
if
life.
If you want to have one of those, "Oh, woe is Andy" moments, tomorrow would be a great day to have it.
No,
I'll be
I do.
More than happy to
oh,
give
no,
it
you.
Oh, no,
all you tomorrow.
Yeah, how are you not covering that?
I don't know
tomorrow.
How he's
I am the
I thought,
southeastern Massachusetts.
I thought
no, no,
we,
no.
I thought we were doing it. Now all of a sudden he goes, "Well, you should just show up. You should just go there."
Well, the timing doesn't work for us to cover it. It's just easier for you to go right there.
It works I'll for you because you don't have kids?
I'll tell you what it's
no,
gonna,
he lives closer.
It's, gonna work,
it's on his
it's,
way.
It's going to work for me when I get caught in traffic and don't show up.
Oh. I don't think you can predict
I almost,
not showing
that almost
up.
Ex- no? That almost actually no? happened to me the other day. I left my house at 7 o'clock
really
for that thing.
I'm concerned about
and
finding
I got
a
there 2
park.
Hours and 15 minutes later.
Well, then just come here early and take the bus.
Nah, I'm not doing that. Isn't the bus leaving at like 8:15?
I didn't see the exact timing.
No chance of me being there at 8:15.
You got emails?
Plus, I have to
I'm
drive
trying
the
to
kids.
Log in. The computer
I mean,
is freezing.
I could conceivably be late. I have to drive the kids to school tomorrow.
Considering you've been late every day of your life.
Not every day.
Well, you're not late unless you miss Robert Kraft speaking.
No, I understand.
Exactly.
Because it's a long day. It's exactly. like a two-hour window.
Yeah, the bus leaves at 8:15.
I no can't access chance. The emails.
You haven't been here at 8:15 in damn near ever.
Can't access
and
the
And I shan't be.
That's unfortunate.
Speaking of which, did that breakfast happen already?
No. It's coming.
It's during minicamp, isn't it? Or is it after? People really don't care about this, do they?
No.
It's terrible.
Really
seven
don't.
Minutes.
I unfortunately can't log into the emails. It's the same problem we had last
Kevin,
show.
Kevin, read an email. You got an email in there? Read an email. You always want to get your voice heard on this show. Now's your chance. If you screw up once, you're fired.
Christian just wrote in.
Chris with a T-I-A-N or
yeah,
Christian?
Yeah. Highway to Heaven, Viktor Frankl played the bearded dude.
Oh, okay. That wasn't really the type of email
there
I was
asking.
Do you have a Patriots-related email?
I got one right.
Got
you looked
one
it
from,
up. You should get
Jacob
it.
In Denmark.
Yeah, but didn't say that Jacob? That was the bearded guy.
Oh, I didn't watch it yet, but
a link?
They sent me a link to the nudie show. Yeah. I didn't watch it yet.
I can't tell if this is sarcastic.
Because I think it needed a NS, what is it? NSFW?
Not safe for work?
Not suitable for work, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Suitable, not safe? I always thought
either
it was
safe.
One. Safe, suitable.
Either one.
It's all the same.
Semantics.
Tomato, tomato.
Well, no, there's things that are safe but aren't suitable and suitable but aren't safe.
Whatever. Jacob from Denmark. Is John Abraham still a free agent? And if so, what are the
yes.
chances we sign him?
Yes, and
50-50. Either he will or he won't.
100%, according to Fred.
Fred's not on that anymore. Remember
no?
the trip to Tennessee worried
no.
him.
It's down to 90.
There are only
still,
two doors. Either he signs or he doesn't. So it's
I still
a 50-50 chance.
There's a chance.
But what if I pick one that. And then pick the other one? Now that increases my chances to 75. Lavelle Hawkins.
Lavelle.
We've heard bad things about.
Yes.
In terms of his off-field and sort of, not off-field, I don't want, work ethic, maturity, reliability, that kind of stuff. More on-field, football-related, work-related.
More on-field?
No mo.
That's
not but he has looked decent out there, I thought. I thought he's shown a little burst.
He had
a great
and I
catch
saw him.
Today.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, and I'm basing this on like a couple. Just I know for a fact he made a couple
yeah,
plays.
It's just so hard.
He's been returning. He's been the third punt returner. Now, again, Edelman's not out there, mm-hmm. and Mo is dead, so we've dropped a couple options there. It has gone Washington, Amendola and then Hawkins, but I'm just mildly intrigued by him. Part of my intrigue was the idea that I assumed that Michael Jenkins would be sort of a lock and, you know, he'd be this reliable veteran, and he hasn't looked all that reliable to me, so maybe I need to open up my eyes a little bit, the parameters of those veteran wide receivers. Like Donald Jones, couldn't pick him out of a lineup in terms of what he's done right now. But Lavelle Hawkins, I feel like I've seen Flash make a couple nice catches.
One other guy
randomly.
We have to acknowledge is Leon Washington.
Oh, Leon Washington to me. Oh, he's been the veteran star of the camp.
Spry.
He's been a good word.
Sudfeld Washington, two stars of offense.
Mentioned star of OTAs, as much as you can be a star at OTAs.
Right, but, I mean, some of the stuff that you doubt about him, he looks really fast.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure that he would still look fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you start to age, you never know.
I agree. And I'll be interested to see what he looks like sort of as we wind through the training camp and preseason.
It's banged around a little bit.
It's a little wear and tear.
Looking very old school, too, with the long towel like the receivers used to wear, like Jerry Rice used to wear. Like
he also wears armbands. I like
wears the armbands
lets
around
me
the,
know it's him.
Yeah.
I like any of the players that
armbands
differentiate
around
themselves.
Around the biceps.
Paul's just watching TV.
I'm watching Mike Rice.
Oh,
the former Rutgers coach who just kicked one of his players in the ass. What a moron!
Well,
I'm surprised one of the players didn't just turn around and beat the crap out of him one day.
As Fred said, we will be back on Thursday.
As I said, I'm sorry for the last 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I couldn't log into the emails. Fred just announces he's leaving.
Paul tunes out because he's going to watch Outside the Lines.
So yeah, no more OTAs this week, but mini camp next week. So hopefully there'll be something between now and then.
We'll talk to you Thursday, and Paul will have a big update.
Talk about the bus.
Paul's going to have a big update from the bus and Robert Kraft and the Play 60 event that he'll be attending tomorrow morning. He will be there on time, Tom Coughlin time.
Mm-hmm. So for Andy, Paul, the absent Fred, I'm Eric. We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.